Round 10.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Sunday, December 29, 2024. This is your award-winning Cubar Nation Media Assassination, episode 1725.
This is No Agenda.
Rejecting the jet lag and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And for Northern Silicon Valley, where we're all asking the same question. Who the hell buys food from Home Shopping Network? I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
The bigger question is, why were you watching the Home Shopping Network?
Oh, I watch it all the time. I love the Home Shopping Network. QVC and the other one, the big one, which is the Jewelry TV, JTV.
Well, isn't Instagram and TikTok, they're basically the new Home Shopping Networks now?
I don't know. I never bought anything from them.
Oh, the ladies, they buy everything off of Instagram.
I've never, no.
No, well, you're not a lady.
I'm not the ladies for one thing.
You're not the ladies, no. You're
Maybe
not.
I'll catch up.
You're not the ladies.
But they're selling breaded chicken cutlets this morning on a Home Shopping. They sell all kinds of food that's prepared. It's like, why? What? Who's going to buy? Oh, all you have to do is heat it up, you know, and it's not cheap.
Oh, but this is what has become of our intake here.
It's pathetic, to be honest about it. Who's going to buy breaded chicken cutlets from Home Shopping Network and then reheat it?
Well, they're setting you up for their next product. This next item we have is a special discount on Ozempic.
Yeah, well, they haven't done that yet.
It's coming. It's coming. So the end is near. The Skynet is closing in on us. Let me tell you about our return from Europe.
Oh, yes. Now, okay. Well, you have to brief everyone. If you haven't listened to the show for a while, Adam has been in Europe. Now, he came and back during a horrendous moment in flight history because it was all the airports were closed. And there was delays everywhere. I was watching the news saying, gee, I hope Adam gets back in time for the show.
Yeah. No, there was no problem whatsoever.
Well, good.
But
they psyched me out.
But I will say this about that. Facial recognition is here. Leaving Schiphol Airport, facial recognition to exit customs. That's the EU and, you know, most countries, except for the United States, of course. You have to go through customs when you leave so they know you left. I've never understood why we don't have that. But you walk through a little gate. Good to go. Gate opens. Walk through. Board onto Delta. Do you need your boarding pass? Your passport? No. Facial recognition. Good to go. Come into the United States. We came to Atlanta. Now, I will say we got global entry because the last time we came in, we came back from Mexico. We stood in line for 2 hours. I'm like, okay, I'm giving up my biometric data for this. This is crazy. I haven't had global entry in at least maybe about 10 years. And you walk up to the kiosk. I have my global entry card. I've got my passport. No. Bzz, bzz, go. And then you walk up to the customs agent. He's just waving you on through. It's facial recognition all the way through, which of course means now they, with the flip of the switch, they can block me, stop me from going anywhere. It was
With a flip of the switch.
Yeah, it was great on one hand. On the other hand, just frightening.
I had I told the story on the show before, but about looking back at it, maybe almost 15 years ago, maybe 20. I was in Portugal and I was at some event, and the next door to the event I was at, there was a tech event of sorts. For police departments and security experts. Mm-hmm. And they had a facial recognition system there that you could play with. So, and this was like 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was designed for airports. And so you can go through it as many times as you wanted, doing anything you wanted to do. I was going through with my cheeks puffed out, my hand in front of my face.
Yeah,
I went through it about 10 times. it never missed. Once it got your original face, it just, you couldn't fool it.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that bothered me. And to this day, I remember that there's nothing you could do to fool it. You could close your eyes, you could squint, you could lift one eyebrow, you could do all kinds of things, and it was not being fooled by any of it.
No. I know. It's
a good technology.
It's quite remarkable.
It's quite good.
It's quite remarkable.
They say now, I mean, that since then, they've can determine that even if you wear a mask.
Oh, well, even the iPhone unlocks with your mask on these days. Oh, yeah. No, this stuff is good. And, you know, your iPhone, of course, is taking a snapshot every, 5 seconds. It's looking to see if you got your face in front of it. So it's just the whole thing. It's great, but it's really not great.
It's not great at all.
No. It's great because
it's onerous is the word you're looking for. Yeah. Onerous would be today's word.
Yeah.
It's onerous. We don't need this aggravation.
No, not really happy with it. Well, let's stick with aviation then, since you brought it up.
And by the way, since we have this so much of this facial recognition going, how come they can't stop all crime?
Well, now you've stumped me. I don't know if they can stop all crime, but they, you know,
they should be able to catch it. They should be able at least to identify all criminals.
It's coming.
I don't understand. Many of them are recidivists that came out of jail or prisons. They obviously took pictures of their faces in prison.
Yeah.
So
they can't seem to do it at the border. It works great for people just
for
traveling.
You.
Yeah, for me, it works great for me. Yeah. All right. The news came.
I'm just going to say I do have a background clip on the Azerbaijan thing if you want to play that.
Well, I'll give you the latest news that came in overnight and then see if we play the backgrounder.
Since the crash of Azerbaijan Airlines Flight 243, suspicions have been growing over Russia's involvement. On Saturday, the Kremlin said President Vladimir Putin had apologized to his Azerbaijani counterpart over the phone. He admitted that Russian air defense was active at the time, but stopped short of taking responsibility.
In the conversation, it was noted that the Azerbaijani passenger aircraft, which was following the schedule, repeatedly tried to land at the airport of Grozny. At the same time, Grozny, Mozdok, and Vladikavkaz were attacked by Ukrainian combat drones, and Russian air defense systems repelled these attacks.
The Russian president did not confirm that the plane had been hit by a Russian air defense missile. For experts, however, there is no doubt. They say these holes in the plane's fuselage are proof of shrapnel from an anti-aircraft missile. Meanwhile, the president of Azerbaijan, Ilham Aliyev, said that the plane was hit in Russian airspace by external physical interference, as suggested by survivors' accounts. Since the crash, which killed 38 people, Azerbaijan Airlines has announced that it would be suspending flights to 8 other Russian cities. Other airlines from Kazakhstan, Israel, and Dubai have followed suit and cancelled flights to Russia.
So it seems pretty clear they're going to blame it on Ukraine. Because Ukraine was shooting drones into Russian airspace, and it's their fault. They just haven't quite admitted it yet. Do we need your backgrounder on this?
I think the background would be good because there's some new material that came out just before the show from our buddy Doug.
Doug? Oh, Doug the douchebag?
Doug the douchebag from France 24.
Where has he been? I've been missing him in my life.
He's around. He's back. Oh,
all right.
Doug, I don't remember him being called Doug the douchebag. But
yeah, it's Doug the douchebag. Douche. Yeah. Is this the Kazakh air crash?
The bald douche.
Russian President Vladimir Putin apologized to the leader of Azerbaijan today after the deadly Azerbaijani airline crash in Kazakhstan, but he didn't take responsibility for the crash. In a statement, the Kremlin says it was responding to a Ukrainian drone strike in Chechnya. NPR's Elena Moore reports.
In a Kremlin readout of the call, Putin characterized the crash, which killed 38 people, as a tragic incident, apologizing that it happened in Russian airspace. It comes a day after White House National Security spokesman John Kirby addressed Russia's potential involvement.
We do have seen some early indications that would certainly point to the possibility that this jet was brought down by Russian air defense systems.
Kirby added that an investigation conducted by Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan is ongoing, and the U.S. has offered its assistance.
Where's douchebag Doug?
No, I don't have the clip. I said that was this morning. That's the background clip is the one I'm playing. They're mixing me up.
Yeah, yeah. What did Douchebag Doug
Douchebag
say?
Doug came on France 24. First of all, they brought the president of Azerbaijan this morning, came out and said, Putin's responsible. What we wanted was an apology. He didn't give an apology. Now what we want is a compensation for the lost jet and compensation for all the dead people. And so he made a demand on Putin, which is one dictator to another. And this was quite interesting.
And
Douchebag Doug comes on and says, well, the problem that that Putin actually has here is that Azerbaijan is the true the route that the Russians have been using. You have to go through Azerbaijan because of all the sanctions against Russia. They can't do this. They can't do that. They can't fly here. They can't fly there. Azerbaijan is like the route that Russia has to use. Mm-hmm. And so he's got leverage on Putin, and Putin's going to have to do something about it.
Well, Putin should say, talk to the Europeans. They got $300 billion of our money. They'll give it to you.
That would actually be quite funny if he could do that.
Yeah, get it from those guys.
So that's the situation now. Is that yes, it's Putin's fault. The guy says he was he's very sincere about it. He says, yeah, you can acknowledge this and that, but where's the apology? He just wants an apology for shooting down this plane.
And well, because Putin needs to figure out how to blame it on Ukraine.
I think that ship sailed.
I have a couple of clips. I only play one here. This is the Russian aviation chief who went into a little more detail.
Now to Kazakhstan, and investigations
on the BBC
continue into what caused the crash of an Azerbaijani passenger plane.
How old-fashioned is this style, by the way? And now to Azerbaijan.
That's like the old thing. I'm always reminded of, you listen to these old boxing clips of the fights in the 30s and 40s, and you hear a guy going, round 10! This is cornball announcing style that died 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, except at the BBC.
Now to Kazakhstan, and investigations continue into what caused the crash of an Azerbaijani passenger plane in the country on Christmas Day. Representatives of Azerbaijan Airlines speak of external, physical and technical interference, but they don't say what that could have been. 38 people died in that crash, but there were some survivors. The plane had originally tried to land at Grozny Airport in southern Russia, but was denied permission and diverted to Kazakhstan, where it crashed near the airport at Aktau. Well, the head of Russia's aviation watchdog, Dmitry Yadvrov, said the diversion was necessary because of a difficult situation around Grozny Airport.
I should note that the situation in the area of Grozny Airport that day during those hours was quite difficult. Ukrainian combat drones were mounting terrorist attacks on civilian infrastructure in the cities of Grozny and Vladikavkaz. Because of this, all aircraft had to leave the indicated airspace immediately.
I like the term Ukrainian combat drones. I haven't really heard it described that way. UCDs, Ukrainian combat drones.
I like the combat drone.
Yeah, terrorist attacks. Okay, I like that. So this seems pretty obvious, and I like that we got the Douchebag Doug info. There were, however, two more crashes that I think are a little more... Yes.
Well, yeah, the one in Korea is a nasty one. But then, of course, I think one thing that we should mention that we had noticed, but we're not going to talk much about, is the Navy's shooting down of its own F-18.
Well, that would be three crashes. I'll skip the Navy's F-18, the 66. How much was 66 million?
$66 million down the drain of taxpayer money.
Now we complain about taxpayer money.
No, we always complain about taxpayer money.
There were two other crashes of note, and yes, indeed, the first is the South Korean airliner.
This was a dramatic moment. The Jeju plane carrying 181 people crash-landed and burst into a ball of flames. So far, two people have been pulled out alive, but over 100 have been killed. Officials said the landing gear of the Boeing 737 arriving from Bangkok appeared to have malfunctioned. Local media reported it may have been caused by birds getting
into the plane system, combined with adverse weather conditions. They have promised a thorough investigation and rescue operation. The airline CEO has paid tribute to those who lost their lives.
Above all, I would like to express my deepest condolences and apologies to the passengers and their families whose relatives lost lives in this accident. Regardless of the cause of the accident, I feel responsible as the CEO. We at Jeju Air will do our best to quickly resolve the accident and support the families of the passengers.
The crash is one of the deadliest seen in South Korea. It is the first big test for acting President Choi Sung-mok, who was named interim leader of the country on Friday.
So just looking at this video right away, I'm like, no. This is not a bird strike. There's some video of a puff coming out of the engine. The likelihood of a bird strike causing the landing gear to not deploy is unlikely. Also, looking at that landing, if you want to call it a landing, no. That plane was going very fast, had no trim, no air speed brakes, nothing was deployed. So it looked much more like a complete hydraulic failure. And because, you know, you can actually lower the gear on a 737. You can pull a lever, and the gear will drop just from centrifugal force, from gravity. It'll just drop down. I don't know if it locks in place. It's not a great way to do it, but that was not happening. If anything, it looked like they were trying to do a touch and go and do a go around. And then, of course, South Korea decided to put a very big barrier at the end of the runway. It's unfortunate. It's a day wrecker. But the same day, a KLM 737-800, same aircraft, flight KL-1204, which you did not hear about, overran the runway after a diversion to Oslo. And they said that they had a hydraulic failure. Smoke came from the left engine. And now they landed okay, but they had no control of flaps or landing gear. So seeing that this happens on the same day, two exact same type aircraft, I'm going to say it would be worthwhile to look into the latest batch of Boeing aircraft.
If they're from the same batch.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a possibility. This is an old quality control thing. This is the reason that, by the way, just to change, I'd say, targets of the topic. That's why you don't buy, when you load up with a RAID for your hard disk, you buy six hard disks. You don't buy six hard disks
the same vendor. No, not the same batch. No.
No, you can get the same vendor, but not the same batch. Because if one fails, they all fail. This is a very common phenomenon in high tech, and airplanes would be no different, or even cars. When one fails from that batch, the ones that came out that week or that month or whatever, that weren't, before the inspectors came around and did their job, you're going to end up with a bunch of them failing. Yeah, I agree. I think you're right.
And, it's a good time to blame everything on birds. It was a bird strike.
Uh-huh. No, bird flu.
Bird flu. Yes. And on that note, we do need to go through a couple of things because some important people have arrived back on the scene. We start with the important introduction.
And we begin with a concerning new CDC report on the first severe human case of bird flu in the U.S. Samples taken from a patient in Louisiana show mutations that could make it easier for this virus person to person. Now, right now, there's no evidence it has passed.
No evidence.
It's been passed along to anyone else. And the CDC says risk to the public remains low. But experts warn a single mutation like this could potentially lead to another pandemic.
Yes. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, the No Agenda Nation, the pandemic propaganda princess is back. Scarf and all.
Joining us now is Dr. Deborah Birx. You may remember her response coordinator for the.
How does this woman even get on any air whatsoever when she already admitted that she's a liar?
I think there's very good reasons for this. And as we go through a couple of these clips, I shall explain why I believe it. She, by the way, Commodore Deborah Birx, former military, although it's not on her resume, she might have specialized in psychological operations. She has joined a lot of different outfits. She joined that indoor air filter company as a chief scientist or some nonsense like that. But she's also now just recently joined Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. She's on all kinds of boards. She's picking up money left and right. Just pick some money up here, pick some money up there. And I'm sure she's on the, this is CNN. I'm sure she's on the CNN payroll as an expert to come in and talk.
Deborah Birx, you may remember her as the response coordinator for the White House Coronavirus Task Force in the first Trump administration. We are very fortunate to have your expertise as expertise. We try to figure out what's going on with the bird flu and what it could mean. So far, 65 human cases of bird flu have been reported in the U.S. this year, all contracted by animals, but now we have this new mutation in Louisiana.
Wait. All contracted by animals? She means from animals, doesn't she?
There's going to be a lot of confusion about that. And now, is it zoonotic or zoonotic?
It's zoonotic.
Zoonotic. When is it zoonotic?
It's only zoology.
Zoology and zoonotic. Okay. All right. But yeah. There's going to be a lot of confusion about this.
By the way, I did a deep dive on that just to get that right.
I'm glad. That's why there's two of us.
How worried should we be?
It used to be concerned. Now it's worried. How worried should we be?
Deanna, how worried should we be about bird flu potentially becoming another pandemic?
By the way, they've got a great new picture of the bird flu. So they just like we had coronavirus, we had that spiky ball thing.
The spiky looking thing.
So this is, it looks like five. So they've got four cells, like circular cells, all stuck together with a fifth one off to the side, just close enough, not quite there.
Oh, the one that is going to be yes. The one mutation away.
Yes, indicating that that's the one. Yes, that's the one.
Well, I love the way you said 63 cases, because I have no idea how many cases there were.
And now, this is
good. Well, hold on. Well, what?
She's
the expert.
No, this is a setup, because this is the same script. This is the script that's rolling out. Why don't we know? What do we need? What do we need?
Well, I love the way you said 63 cases, because I have no idea how many cases there were or are. Because our number one principle in preventing pandemics is detect. And if you go to the CDC website, you can see that they're monitoring more than 10,000 exposures, but they've only tested 530.
Oh, we need to test.
What does that mean? That means we're not testing enough. And we know from other viruses that a lot of the spread can be asymptomatic. So we're kind of have our head in the sand about how
typhoid Mary.
It's the same script.
Spread this is from the zoonotic standpoint, from the animal to human standpoint. Now, also remember, most of those cases described to date happened in the spring and the summer, not when we had H1N1 circulating right now, when we're running the flu pandemic with throughout the United States. So
did you know we have a flu pandemic? She just said that. She just said we have it. We're running. She said we're running the flu. Like, what is this? What are you running? Now she says we're running the flu pandemic.
That's what she said. Yes,
I don't like the sound of that.
Not when we had H1N1 circulating right now, when we're running the flu pandemic with.
She even pauses like, what did I just say? I shouldn't be saying that. I just gave it away. We're running the flu pandemic
right now, when we're running the flu pandemic with throughout the United States. So we have rising flu cases. And now we have still zoonotic events coming. So now you've set up for potentially a farm worker getting H5N1, also getting the current flu strain, and reassorting in that individual.
Reassorting. It's reassorting inside of me.
To me, that's almost a bigger threat to these mutations happening in individuals over time.
By the way, I'd like to give a little tip for our producers out there who are looking for some quick money. Now is the exact moment. You may even be a little bit on the late side. Get certified. There's a whole portal. I think CDC has a whole portal. You as a commercial entity can get cert. My friends did this.
During this COVID. Is the same script. You're doing yes. The other side of the script.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is
the money making side. Yeah. Get certified as a testing entity. And then you just buy up these tests really cheap. You can get them from Abbott because of course they already exist. Buy them up really cheap, and then you can be on the list, and you can market to all these companies who have conferences in general, annual shareholder meetings, and it is a bonanza. Remember your No Agenda show.
When you say reassorting yes. In that person, what does that mean? Okay, so the H5 virus, which doesn't adapt too well to our upper respiratory tract and is preventing us from getting infected, but infecting cows and pigs and cats and dogs.
What?
So our flu, which has the binding sites for us, for our nasal passages. Viruses are very specific, and so they're very animal or human specific. Now we have human flu circulating. At the same time, we have the zoonotic flu circulating.
And the zoonotic is for our viewers, again, the animal
bird flu,
TV.
Yes. Okay. So we have the animal flu, let's call it the animal flu, and animal now we have flu. Human
yeah.
flu.
Animal flu.
Co-circulating. Oh. And at any time, someone could get both.
Blues.
What? But I don't know. What she's saying here over and over again is so in a human being, you could have the regular flu and then the animal flu would combine together and you breathe mm-hmm. that out and you breathe it to someone else and then they get.
Yeah. You're right. Keep going.
Well, then they would get the flu. Then we'd have a mutation, and then we're all going to die.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. All we're all going to die.
Co-circulating. And at any time, someone could get both of those unknowingly.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly in California, where all the dairy workers
California.
Now are getting exposed. Flu is rising in the South
into
California. So we should be monitoring carefully that dual exposure, because if you get both of the flus at the same time, the H5 flu, the bird flu, could get the genes from the human flu and make it infectious to humans in the same way that our current flu is.
Okay. So
that makes sense.
Well, no.
But she never says anything about raw milk. Come on.
Oh, don't. Patience. Now, good news for you. Your favorite free item from the government should be coming.
It could become infectious to humans even if it's not coexisting with the human flu, right?
Well, if it mutates like it did in this individual,
like in the Louisiana
or
case.
In the case in Canada. But that sometimes is a random, slower process.
Okay.
But if you have that co-infection, then you can share genes.
Okay.
And that's a really, to me, the spring and the summer where we had all of the dairy cattle to farm worker exposure, we didn't have human flu circulating. So now we're entering a much more dangerous period, yet we're still not testing. And we should be providing tests free of charge to dairy farm workers so they can test anonymously weekly, because they'll want to know if they have both cases of potential flus co-circulating in their own body to protect their families. People are very smart. I find the American public to be incredibly smart. If you tell them the risk and you give them the tools, they will utilize them to protect themselves and their family.
Sure they
this,
will.
This, by the way, was like 20 minutes she was on. They're not horsing around. Look, you have bird flu. Now, let's bring in some more scientific terms.
You don't think this country has learned from the COVID pandemic.
Our
and
agencies,
there's not a sense of urgency right now.
Our agencies are making the same mistakes they made with COVID. The principle, number two principle of pandemic is detect. And the only way to detect for viruses is to test. You cannot see a virus through symptoms. You miss so many cases.
She said the number two.
Yeah.
And then she goes, what was number one?
Detect.
Did she ever say?
Yeah, detect. Detect was number one. She said that in the first clip.
She said detect was number one.
Yes.
What's number two?
What did she just say number two was?
Detect.
Well, she's lying.
Or what did she say number two was? I'm sorry, back it up.
Okay, hold on a second.
the principle, number two principle of pandemic is detect.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because she said earlier, she said the number one is detect.
Well, number one's detect. Number two, this is like marketing, marketing, marketing. The three best things, the top three things in sales is location, location, location.
And the only way to detect for viruses is to test. You cannot see a virus through symptoms. You miss so many cases. Yet we're still talking about flu-like illness. Well, there is no flu-like illness. There's RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. It causes croup. Parents know what that is. There's mycoplasma pneumonia circulating right now. There's flu circulating right now. And soon there'll be COVID circulating. Those are all respiratory illnesses that look the same.
Stop. My understanding,
yes,
based on the same bullcrap that this woman's pushed out before,
yes,
is that COVID's a year-round thing. It was big in the summer, winter, fall. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So why is all of a sudden COVID becoming seasonal? When did that happen? I'm asking you. You know, I know, we both know, we follow this right from the beginning. COVID was non-seasonal. They made a big fuss about it being non-seasonal.
Yes.
It's like, so how's it, when did it become seasonal? Like she just said.
Well, I'm going to move us along here just a little bit so I can get to the reason behind all of this.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm interrupting on these things. But
no.
She's full of crap.
Yes.
And we have to like stop it when it, because we can't let this go into the public domain as if it's changed magically to a seasonal problem.
Well, this next clip will give us a little bit of a clue as to why she is doing this and why there are others out there doing this. And here it comes.
I want to turn to kind of looking ahead to Trump's picks to lead the nation's health agencies. As you know, some of them are controversial. At HHS, you have vaccine skeptic RFK Jr., also a big advocate for raw milk. At NIH, by the way, the raw milk is relevant to the bird flu discussion, so that's why I brought that up.
Wait, stop. I'm sorry.
I think RFK Jr.
When did Kennedy ever even mention raw milk in any of his discussions? Have you noticed this? I have never heard. I've listened to as much crap as you have, or yes, at least as much.
As much.
And I have listened to Kennedy for, and we both have actually, Kennedy from day one, years and years ago. We've always been admired, you know, even though you can barely hear him. I don't remember him mentioning raw milk once in his entire spiel. How is he now suddenly an advocate?
Let me just do a quick thing. Let me see. If we don't have any clips, then it didn't happen. Milk. Nope. We have nothing on RFK Jr. and raw milk. Because it's not about bird flu. It's already clear what this is about.
At NIH, by the way, the raw milk is relevant to the bird flu discussion, so that's why I brought that up. At NIH, a doctor who criticized COVID lockdowns. At FDA, a doctor who said the government was the, quote, greatest perpetrator of misinformation during COVID. Do people like this concern you about our preparedness for another pandemic? What's your take?
Are you starting to hear what this is about? Are you starting to understand what this is really about? This is not about bird flu. This is about RFK Jr. This is a hit job. And who shows up on CBS Face the Nation? Our other pandemic propaganda princess, Lena Wen.
Something called reassortment.
Things
change because of one illness becoming another illness through reassortment of a mutated.
Same script, reassortment. I've never heard of reassortment. This is new.
I've never heard of this in my life.
Brand new.
We're the combined age of way over 100. And it's like we do not have these things in the background. This is like RSV.
Stand by. Lena Wen will unpack.
Virus.
That's right. And so the viruses could exchange genes. You could develop a new hybrid virus. And
hybrid
if you
virus.
Now have a virus that's more contagious and causes more severe disease, that's when it becomes a major threat to humankind.
What should be happening in the Biden administration right now that isn't going on?
Yeah, there are two main things that they should be doing in the days that they have left. The first is to get testing out there.
Testing.
I feel like we should have learned our lesson from COVID that just just because we aren't testing, it doesn't mean that the virus isn't there. It just means that we aren't looking for it. We should be having rapid tests, home tests available to all farm workers.
Same script.
Their families, for the clinicians taking care of them.
By the way, Lena Wen, also no longer in government service. These people don't work for the government anymore. She is now, in fact, a contributor to CNN. And in this case, CBS Face the Nation.
So that we aren't waiting for public labs and CDC labs to tell us what's bird flu or not. And the second very important thing is, this is not like the beginning of COVID where we were dealing with a new virus, we didn't have a vaccine. There actually is a vaccine developed already against H5N1. The Biden administration has contracted with manufacturers to make almost 5 million doses of the vaccine. However, they have not asked the FDA to authorize the vaccine. There's research done on it. They could get this authorized now and also get the vaccine out and to farm workers and to vulnerable people. I think that's the right approach because we don't know what the Trump administration is going to be doing around bird flu. If they have people coming in with anti-vaccine stances, could they hold up vaccine authorization? If they don't want to know how much bird flu is out there, could they withhold testing? I mean, that's a possibility. Oh, that's and it. I think the Biden administration in the remaining days should get testing and vaccines widely available. So that at least it empowers state and local health officials and clinicians to do the right thing for their patients.
This has been the whole thing. All along, this is it. It's about RFK Jr. mainly, but there are others. Here's MSNBC.
If we don't have enough to worry about during this cold flu COVID season.
Cold flu COVID.
Is worrying news about bird flu.
Bird flu.
The CDC says the virus now shows new mutations that may make it easier for the infection to be spread from person to person. And that increases the risk of a wider outbreak of bird flu or even potentially a pandemic. The concerns over bird flu are rising just as we are on the verge of Senate confirmation hearings for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as Secretary of Health and Human Services, which could begin in the first or second week of January.
It's coming up.
Kennedy's anti-vaccine stances are well known and deeply troubling for someone who would run the federal agency responsible for protecting the health and well-being of all people living in the United States. But it's not just Kennedy who is a concern. It's the people he would bring on board with him, like a raw milk producer in California whose products have been recalled due to bird flu contamination. This guy says Kennedy's team has asked him to lead the nation's policy on raw milk.
This is a bogus, bogative, complete bull crap setup for the confirmation hearing, which will be filled with bird flu nonsense. Are you an anti-vaxxer? If we have vaccines ready to go, we need, are you going to stop the vaccine? Are you going to stop testing? Are you going to kill Americans? It's a 50% death rate. Blah, 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 blah. That's what this is about. And I take us back to one of your clips from episode 1725, McCullough talking about the vaccines that are good to go.
You know what they were doing, Div? They were doing experiments in mallard ducks, migratory waterfowl. What a mistake. One of those guys gets out, they fly everywhere. You know, the media has not been asking the question, why did it spread from Texas to Iowa to Michigan? How did this happen? They didn't ask the question. They just think it's spontaneously arising. No, it's being spread by the ducks that are fly all
the
over.
The ducks.
Wow.
Wow.
And do we have any recourse to be able to stop this or sue this lab for spreading a migratory bird with a novel disease?
All these experts are saying we have to get ahead of nature. That's what disease X researchers said. We have to get ahead of nature. We have to make it invade humankind and then come up with vaccines. So disease X vaccines, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovation, that's that global center founded by Gates Foundation, World Economic Forum. They have an entire over 100-page white paper on disease X. They said the whole reason to study disease X is to have a disease X vaccine. Sure enough, with bird flu, CSL Sequarius, a biotech company, has the Audenz vaccine. It was FDA licensed in 2021 with no human data, ready to go for bird flu. They developed it with BARDA, a research unit of the military, 2021. And now the U.S. has purchased, you know, enough doses for millions of administrations. Why would the U.S. military be developing a bird flu vaccine?
For Warp Speed 2. I'm telling you, you know how there were these reports about a week ago
that Biden interrupted his holiday, came back to the White House, and Vice President Harris came back to the White House, and oh, what's going on? They're setting it up. They're setting it up for, I don't know if they're going to get it to do a warp speed, get the vaccine out there. They have it. They have a vaccine. It's clearly
The vaccine they were talking about in both those clips.
Yes, it's clearly mRNA based. I'm sure of that.
I don't know about that.
Why not?
Well,
why not?
I think it's because it predates mRNA.
2021?
Well, no, it predates the popularity, which came later. It's hard to say.
Well,
it's hard to say.
It's almost irrelevant.
Whatever it is, it's crap.
This is all about Kennedy. It's all about discrediting him in the midst of a possible, we're one mutation away from a new pandemic. How dare you, sir? How very dare you be anti-vax? How dare you want to slow down vaccines? Big Pharma is smart. And look at the people they got. Here's the meeting. All right, we gotta get this Kennedy guy's a problem. Let's get Burks and Wynn. Yeah, people remember them. When they come on, it's like, oh, yeah, well, she told us she was right. This is what's going on. I can't see it any other way.
Well, this doesn't help Kennedy's cause. This is the Kennedy clip on the Amish.
Oh, hold on a second. Kennedy. Yes, got it.
There was a researcher, a writer named Dan Olmsted. And he was very curious about unvaccinated populations, and the Amish are one of those populations. So he went and he did a study of the Amish in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And there should have been, I think, about if it was following the national trends, there should have been about 2,000 autism cases. And they were able to find three. And all of them were children who had been adopted by the Amish after receiving their vaccines. So of the Amish in general, they could not find any. And this is true in other places around the world. There's a link between that. And I do not believe that autism is just caused by vaccines.
Uh-oh.
I think there's very strong evidence that it is one of the major causative factors. But all of these diseases are linked. They all operate along the same biological pathways, and they're caused by stress to our mitochondria. And we're stressing the mitochondria through many, many factors. Through the air we breathe, mainly through the foods we eat, but also some of the medications that our kids taking are contributed to it.
Yeah. So they added in the meeting, they added another kicker because, so these people, they may not believe it. They're not going to fall. They're going to say, we're not falling for this nonsense again. Those idiot podcasters, Curry Dvorak, will probably be telling their audience of hundreds of thousands. And, I know what we'll do. Hey, yeah. Let's scare the people with something they really care about, which is not humans.
Cat food brand is issuing a recall after at least one cat contracted bird flu and died. Northwest Naturals is recalling their 2-pound raw and frozen feline turkey cat food. Affected batches have best if used by dates of May 21st, 2026 and June 23rd, 2026. If your pet ate the recalled food and starts displaying any symptoms, contact your vet immediately.
You need help seeking behavior for your pet. Yeah. This is what we would have done. Yeah.
Tell them it's probably not a bad approach.
Tell them it'll kill
now,
the cat.
We did have one of our raw milk guys write in, we should mention.
Yes, I have his note here.
Yeah, once you're, that's a good note. What, you want to read it?
Yeah, sure. I don't have the fun. Oh, yeah. Okay. Our farmer here in Pennsylvania is forced to label certain raw dairy products as only suitable for cats and dogs due to government regulations. It's how the small farms are able to skirt the idiotic raw dairy regulations. And then he has an email below. But so I didn't know this. That if you get raw dairy products from farmers, They're often labeled as food for your cat and your dog so they can get around the regulations.
It's actually not a regulation, it's a prohibition. In those cases, they're regulations that allow for raw milk in the states that allow raw milk. Some states just say, no, it's illegal. You can't sell it.
Yeah.
But the states that do so, they have a lot of regulations and they're super inspected. The milk is much cleaner than normal milk. And it's a good product. That's, we have that in California. We have Washington State has these abilities. You can do that.
Yeah.
And, but he makes a claim. This is why now they're mentioning the cat's getting sick and the dog's getting sick, because it could be the raw milk in there. This whole thing is, I don't understand what they're, to this day, even though you've tried to explain it or you have some ideas about it, why is there such a prohibition on raw milk? It seems to me that and I've talked about this on the show before, the reason we don't have irradiated food, if you want to really get good at you know, if you
let
want
me,
to,
let
if
me
you,
tell you something about the milk lobby. Let me tell you about how powerful these guys are. In 1985, now this is not the American milk lobby, but I'm sure it's the same everywhere. I was working in the Netherlands, and it was very difficult. Commercials on television, you know, we were being broadcast in public. This was Countdown, the music television show, what I first started when I was 19. So now I'm 20 years old, 21, 85. And you can't just put native ads in stuff, but we were produced by an independent producer, so there were ways kind of around it. And they made a deal with the milk lobby, and the deal was that I would drink from a glass of milk during every single interview. So if you go back and you look, I'm literally interviewing Mick Jagger. He's sitting there with a beer and I'm with a glass of milk. I'll ask a question. He starts answering. Then you see me drinking a glass of milk. There was so much money, which they couldn't pay me for it. So instead they gave me a car. The milk lobby is very powerful. So it's in their best interest to get rid of raw milk.
But what's wrong with raw milk? It would be part of the same lobby.
No.
This milk?
No, they don't want you getting it direct from the cow. You have to go through their packaging, their system, their sales channel.
They can do the same. I don't see any difference. The only difference is that one stage is eliminated. Actually, two stages are eliminated. It's more highly regulated. Yes. And in the stage of pasteurization is missing.
Yeah.
But it's still milk. It's still packaged. It goes into a carton or it goes into a bottle.
No, it goes into a jug.
I don't see why they wouldn't be making money off of this. And you maybe have to join the milk lobby. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Do you remember all the celebrities got milk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that got to do with raw milk? They could be doing the same thing with raw milk.
Because you don't go into the store and buy raw milk. Do you get raw milk from the store?
Yeah, of course you do.
We don't get it from the store.
I get it from the store. I can get it from Monterey Foods. I can get it from Andronico's. Up north, the Sunny Farm store sells the raw milk that you can also buy at the dairy store.
Where do they get it from? I'm sorry. We'll just have a disagreement on this. But to me, it seems like the milk system includes pasteurizing, doing their whole bit, packaging it, you know, putting all their flashy things on. It's a whole business. They're not in the raw milk business. There's some, but I think most of
the same business. I think one's pasteurized and one's not.
Yes.
I think you're wrong.
Well, someone will
say you buy it at the store.
Yeah, but it's small producers. It's not big milk.
I mean, well, it's not big milk. That's for sure. Okay.
It's the same.
If you're just going to go with everything, big pharma, big milk, you can't have any small farms that are trying to shut the small farms down and they're trying to run them out of business like they're doing in England and Netherlands and here to some extent. Okay. If you're going to go with that approach, that argument, I can't argue against that.
That's what I'm saying. The same for beef. They do not want me getting my beef directly from the rancher. Now, in Texas, we have specific laws. The government, the beef lobby and the government. The beef lobby and the government desperately want to stop me from getting my beef directly from the rancher. In Texas, we have very specific laws where we can't do that. But they are trying to stop that everywhere. The beef industry being Cargill and Big Al's? What's their name?
Big Al. Al Capone.
Big Al's. You know, the guys who bring all the beef up from South America, the cheap stuff.
Argentina,
exactly. Who knows? Do you think your milk is coming from an American cow? Who knows where it's coming from? So, yeah, it's crap. It's probably no good. That would be the main reason why you want raw milk is because you know where it's coming from. I don't think they want you to know where your milk is coming from.
Well, I will say this. When I was a kid.
There we go.
We used to have a number of independent dairies that were around the area. You could actually go get in your car and drive to a local dairy, and it was a drive-through.
Yeah, sure.
Like a McDonald's. You go in and you drive into the thing. You say, I'd like to get a couple of quarts of this. And they actually have buttermilk in these places, too.
Yeah.
And you would get a bunch of milk and they go off. And there was we had dozens of these places. They're all independent little farms that had their own outlets.
Yes, of course. That's the way it was good. Back in the day, everything was much better when you were a kid, even when I was a kid. These days, it's a big, big system, and they don't want you interrupting their system. The milk lobby. They don't want you being smart and getting your milk from a good provider. They don't want you knowing that. No. So, yes.
Well, I'm not going to. That argument's a little better than the other one.
That's the same argument. I thought I was making
argument. No, I don't. I'm not seeing it.
Okay. Well, this is my argument now, then. This is not in their interest. Their interest.
Big milk. So, in other words, here's what you're saying. Some little, like you're doing with your buying beef from that Texas guy.
K&C.
Yeah. So. Because you are buying beef from some small provider and this guy's eking out a living or making good money. Who knows? You don't know. But let's say he's making good money even. But he's a small guy. He has X number of head of cattle, which is 1/100th of what a big boy would have.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big threat to them. Oh, my God. This guy's going to buy a quart of raw milk. What are we going to do? This is going to ruin our business. This is what I don't get.
Oh, okay. Well, allow me to explain. It's called the internet. And so we started buying from K&C cattle, even in our own community. Now, when we order, 10 families order at the same time. They drive it up here. They don't charge us anything for shipping. It shows up here. It's an excellent product. And those 10 families tell 10 other families, and this spreads out. They are very cautious about anybody getting a clue, particularly milk. The difference between milk that you buy in the supermarket and raw milk is significant. I mean, you taste raw milk, you're like, this is a dynamite product. True or not? It's like eggnog. It's so good. So, yes, they protect their business. And they've been doing this for quite a while. And so just be quiet, little farmer. No, they don't want any of that. They don't want any of that. Yeah, it's the same. Why did Google, the big and powerful and mighty Google, why did they kill RSS Reader? Because they didn't want people using it. Use our social media, which of course failed. What was that again? Google Plus with the circles?
I can't remember.
Yeah,
Google something. It was bad.
They took it out of the browsers. You can't get RSS in the browsers anymore. No. In fact, we don't want you using a browser. We're going to obfuscate that you're using a browser. It's search. Look, I don't know if you've looked at an iPhone recently, but when you open up Safari, it makes it look like it's a search product. And I tell people, you know, go to curry.com. They'll type in curry.dot.com. and then it brings up a search. And the competing products, DuckDuckGo, exactly the same. They don't see that as a browser anymore. They don't want you using browsers. They don't want it. For this, for the very reason, they want you using apps. Apps. Yeah, I think, and so this is more about knowledge and people sharing this knowledge on Reddit, or God forbid, God forbid TikTok. Yeah, no, this is a purely a defensive move, and they will continue to do that. What else do they have? If you're sitting on top of the stack, you're big milk. I got nothing to worry about. You know, why even advertise? You know, you're the milk guy. I think there's lots of reasons why they don't want this. Just don't get hip to it. And I think,
all right, you may continue with your clips.
Well, I think I'm done. I mean, I have more clips, but it's all kind of the same thing. I think we figured it out. The whole idea here is to discredit Trump's medical nominees, in particular RFK Jr. And with the confirmation hearings coming up before the inauguration, that's the way I understood it. And I think it is happening in the next few weeks. It'll be before January 20th. This is, you know, they will try to do anything that they probably in cahoots with the Biden administration, whatever's left of it, whoever is running it, who are all going to go into the big milk lobby after they get kicked out of the White House. They're going to do whatever they can to scare everybody.
This is a good time. A lot of people are going to get kicked out, but this is a good time to identify the bad actors.
Of the appointees or the ones leaving?
The appointees, you have to put up with that, whatever you think. Mm-hmm. But the bad actors in Congress.
Yes. Yeah. That'll be the ones when we hear the questioning, we'll know exactly who they are.
You'll know exactly where they're coming from. When Kennedy will be the lightning rod.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll probably go first. I would say that's the one they're going to do first.
Well, he'll get in. Well, I think Secretary of State's a little more important. They're probably going to do those first. Kennedy is probably down the line. They don't want to make it too obvious what they're up to.
No one ever gave them credit for being smart or obtuse. I don't think so. I think they'll, well, we'll see. But I don't know what the actual schedule is.
The irony to this whole thing with Kennedy is that it's the left who have always been the skeptics. I mean, traditionally, until the Obama machine came around. But traditionally, the left has always been the health food nuts and all the types of people that were skeptical about this, that, and the other thing. And they're the ones who would be in support of Kennedy, curiously, which are the Democrats. And so they're between a rock and a hard place in terms of the philosophy of life, basically, with Kennedy. And they're going to have to deal with their constituents on this. Kennedy is not just a pick of Trump and the Republicans that want, you know, see some changes made. He's also a hero of a large contingent of the left.
Yes.
This is a rough go for them.
Can you explain recess appointments?
Yeah.
How does that happen, and what period does that take place? Maybe they're trying to shoehorn Kennedy in quick before that's even a possibility.
Well, they can't shoo him in until he's president. Recess appointment is you can dissolve in a kind of an emergency way. You can close the Senate make him go on vacation for a I think there's a minimum period involved, mm-hmm. like a week or something like that. And in that time frame, based on some recess appointments that other people have done in the past, you can just appoint members to the cabinet because there's nobody to vote against them.
Right.
It's a tricky maneuver that Trump has threatened to do. And there's a counteraction to it that I'm not familiar with. I don't know the details of how it works, but there's a counter move that can be done if the Senate is really adamant about it, but they'd have to be controlled by the Democrats to pull that off.
Right. Well, so that would make even more sense to do it before Trump is even in and can do a recess appointment, at least to get the conversation going.
You can't appoint anybody until he's in.
No, but you can do the confirmation hearings. You can start them now.
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm looking for a start date. I haven't been able to find anything.
I think it all begins on the 20th.
Because he's up on the Hill now, drumming up support.
Yes, that's what you do in advance of the hearings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go from play. He probably has Fetterman in his camp. That's the one Democrat. And he's probably lost the super rhinos, Collins, Murkowski in Alaska.
Confirmation hearings for Trump's cabinet nominees are expected to begin during the 119th Congress, which starts on January 3rd.
Okay, the Congress starts earlier. Okay. That's good to know.
So it can start and it will start.
Yeah, it will start because Trump wants to hit the ground running on the 20th.
Yeah. And so,
okay, so they will have these things, but the bad actors in the Republican Party, which includes Susan Collins and Murkowski and
two or three
dudes that are real assholes. I can't remember their names.
Those dudes, they're no good.
And so he's going to have to pressure them. Yeah. And I still think, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again over and over, that Trump does have leverage over Big Pharma, who's going to be pushing hardest against Kennedy, which is, by executive order, he can end TV advertising.
Yeah.
If he does that...
That will stop the help-seeking behavior.
That will...
We can't have that.
That will damage the Big Pharma, and it will damage the media.
Hmm. Okay. Then... Anyway, I'll close this topic, unless you have anything else, by saying... This is bull crap. This is about discrediting Kennedy and others in advance and maybe drumming up a little more pandemic fear, especially that it can now get to your pets, because that's what people care about. That's how Trump won. That's how Trump won the election. They're eating the dogs. Everybody knows that is now that's the way to go.
They're eating the dogs.
That's what you need. You need to focus the American people on their pets, and you win. Now, the next thing, and I don't know if you have any clips on this, but I'll play the intro, is what's really been heating up. This is the MAGA Civil War.
MAGA World is at war with itself, thanks to a breaking point between multimillionaire tech bros and Donald Trump's anti-immigrant loyalists. This week, Trump's pick for senior policy advisor on AI, an Indian-American venture capitalist, was hit with racist backlash.
Racist!
Then MAGA loyalists erupted even more after Doge co-chair Vivek Ramaswamy defended foreign-born workers in tech by blaming American culture for prioritizing brawns over brains. In summary, Axios explains, quote, the fight exposes one of the MAGA movement's deepest contradictions. It came to prominence chiefly via the white, less educated working class, but is now under the full control of billionaire technologists and industrialists, many of them immigrants.
Yes, many of them immigrants. Now, this is being played in multiple ways across the media, and I think there are some...
I have thoughts on this.
Yeah, we have. Well, we've discussed this a lot in the past. Just for sake of color, I will play the. This was an intro to MSNBC segment. They're so stupid. They're playing this as a racial issue, and speaking will be Simone Sanders. She's the black woman who actually ran the Bernie Sanders campaign. She's on all the MSNBC morning shows. She's kind of the yin to Joy Reid's yang. And the former RNC president, what's the guy's name?
Michael Steele.
And they, for some unknown reason, decide to go all black culture speak on this issue.
Honey, the girls are fighting. The girls are fighting.
So let me get this straight. So Vivek Ramaswamy, I mean, he just didn't write a tweet. He wrote a...
screed. It was a screed.
Screed. I mean, it just went on. And he laid out, basically, y'all white folks out here should have been focused on doing a little bit more Urkel than anything else.
Less Stefan.
And it's just, I'm tickled. I'm tickled by this. Who would have saw this coming?
Well, I mean, definitely not the folks that voted for Donald Trump and the American worker and centering American workers. Uh-huh. Look, this is, you know, my mother told me it's just some business that don't involve you. You don't need to step in it. So I've just been watching because this is what happens. To be very clear, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, weren't they foreign born workers?
Yeah.
Must say he here because of one of them visas, and now I believe he's an actual American citizen. But like, let's just be very clear. There's nothing wrong with people who are not from this country coming here, making a better life, contributing to the American fabric. Okay, that's something I fundamentally believe in. America is a land of the free, home of the brave, all that good stuff that Elon Musk was tweeting about. However, please don't come for Americans. And I would like white Americans to stand up. This is your calling card, honey. Where's your banner? Because they coming for you. They said y'all white and lazy. That's crazy.
That's right. That's crazy. Two snaps, girl. Idiotic.
So I'm glad you got that clip. Kind of. I wasn't going to get these clips. There was a bunch of them. They all came from the left.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of the argument, in other words, the people that did support Trump, nobody has gotten upset about this or said much about it. It's all on MSNBC and CNN.
Yes.
It's a complete creation trying to sow discord between Ramaswamy and Musk. You know, they've been trying to bust up Musk and Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another example of an attempt to do so. But I wouldn't hate to use the word tempest in a teapot, but it's like a ridiculous situation that these guys are trying to exaggerate. As a whitey myself, I would agree that more math tutors would be a good idea. We have some of the dumbest people in the world thanks to our Department of Education. That's what they should be. You could turn this back around on these guys and say, well, this is the Department of Education, should be banned, should be kicked out, should be closed. And nobody disagrees with any of this. Yeah, Ramaswamy likes H-1Bs, and so does a lot of other people in tech. I mean, they've been using them for decades. It's probably to overuse them. But this is bull crap. Okay, this is just bull crap.
There's part of the story you're missing, and this is what I pick up here in the Hill Country. The part of the story you're missing is that the 100% MAGA people feel that this is bull crap, that Vivek and Elon are saying, hey, we don't need American tech workers. We want to have the cheap import tech workers. There is definitely a lot of pushback coming from MAGA on that. This is the whole Twitter blow up with Laura Loomer. There's noise about this. It's not this that you just said is absolutely fabrication from the left. But there is a real pushback, and people are now yelling about, you know, Bannon, all these kinds of people out there running around saying Elon's no good, Vivek is no good. They want to replace American workers. And there's some validity to that in the tech sector. First of all, let's step back. H-1B visas, I think probably were most prevalently used in the past, really for temporary hospitality workers, temporary agricultural workers who would come in, harvest season, get out, take our dollars back home, and feed their families.
That's not true. The H-1B visa specifically says that you can't even use it unless you have a minimum salary of $60,000, and all the people you described are all under that.
Okay.
It was used in tech big time. In fact, there was a guy out at the University of California, Davis. I can't remember his name. I have spoken to him, but when I was doing the Silicon Spin show, this was a big issue. in the late 90s, because they were loading up with H-1B guys, all the tech companies were, but it's mostly semiconductor companies because they needed these engineers that were coming out of India Institute of Technology to come over. In fact, AMD was almost all Indian guys, and they were bringing them over by the boatloads. A guy at, I think his name was Maitland, M-A-I-T-L-A-N-D, out of Davis, was bitching and moaning about this being exploitative.
It is.
I am not going to argue that point, but this is nothing. This is not a new thing.
No, it's not. And it's not a new thing.
Wasn't done for hospitality workers. That would, you use braceros for that sort of thing.
I may be confused on that, but the main reason the tech companies like these people is they come in, they are immediately slaves of the tech organization.
When they work cheaper.
They work cheap. They'll live 8-2 an apartment. They'll shut up because, you're making a problem? Would you like me to withdraw your H-1B? No, this is all true. Yeah, exactly.
This is all true, but this was going on in the 90s.
Yes, I know. And
so what's Vivek and Musk got to do with it?
I'm just telling you, people don't know this. People don't know about the H-1B visa.
They're getting
status.
Spun up by the left.
No, they're getting spun up by the right. I'm telling you.
But the initial push has been from the left.
Irrelevant. People, yes. Yes, because the left has been teasing Elon's no good, Elon's no good. And it's now happening on the right. People are saying, hold on a second. What are you guys doing? Why? There's 130,000 tech jobs were cut in 2024. 130,000. So there's people out there who are a little irked about this. And yet understand the H-1B process is you have to make the job posting available. And if an American citizen, or I would say if you're a green card holder, if they submit an application, by law, the firm has to interview them. Now, they can talk to them for 15 minutes and say you're no good. This is why people send out 500 resumes and they never hear anything. The companies don't acknowledge they received their resume. Apple and I think Google had paid millions of dollars in fines for this 6-7 years ago, because they weren't following the process. And what these guys do is they fire. The only place to get profit now is your biggest cost center. That's people. And look at who's running them. Who's running Google? Brahman. Who's running Microsoft? Brahman. I heard a lot from Mo, who worked in high tech, and they hire Indians. The Indians hire Indians. They hire they hire the class of Indians who they can boss around, tell them to shut up. They're also very racist. And the whole tech industry is filled with this type of worker. And I think they're breaking the law by, you have to post it. If you have a job in a company, they have to make that job posting available so that other people within the company can see it. So where does it go? It goes in the break room on the inside of the coffee cup cabinet. They publish these jobs in paper newspapers. I mean, it's obvious what they're doing. And my stance, I'm perfectly fine with it. Go ahead. Fill up your company with your Indian slaves. Why is there no Silicon Valley in India? Because they don't have the one thing Americans have, which is entrepreneurialism and insight and opportunity and chutzpah. And I think we're going to see these companies stagnate with their slave army of little bots who program the AI stuff, which is probably why they need to cut costs in the first place. And I think we'll see an enormous boom of innovation coming from former tech workers who have been cut to be replaced by this army of Indian slave workers. And we may see some really amazing products come out of this, around and outside of what Silicon Valley is, and fill it up, put them all in California. I'm fine with that. I think it's a great idea. People should look at it that way and not like, Elon and Vivek, they're trying to replace Americans. It's a big deal on the right, John. It really is.
Well, being in California, I could be missing it.
Being in Texas, I'm hearing it.
I'm hearing.
But what's funny, what the irony is, I'm in Silicon Valley more or close enough, and you're not. And there's, and Fredericksburg, of all places in the world, is about as far from a high tech center that should be concerned about this stuff, you know, as Iowa. It just doesn't make any sense. No, but okay,
yeah, because it's ideological. They're being spun up. They're being spun up by the right, by Laura Loomer. They're being spun up by conservatives.
What is Laura Luma? What did she say or do?
You didn't see the whole fight that she had with Elon and Vivek on Twitter?
And I saw some of it.
Yeah, and then Elon took away her blue check. And
oh, yeah, I know that. I saw that part of it.
Okay. And this is so.
But I don't know how that happened. I don't know that Elon was actually personally involved.
Yes, yes, yes. They were going back and forth. Yes, about
this. You know, she's a character because she's a noteworthy troublemaker.
I know, but then conservative treehouse, Bannon, War Room, they're all talking about now it has worked, successfully worked. The left demonizing Elon is working. And I got to say, when Elon took away her blue check mark, even temporarily, that told a lot of people something. Oh, okay. If it's about him, he will censor.
And well, that could be. And the argument that she made in this back and forth, which I didn't pay much attention to, but I obviously paid some attention to, she said that I had even paid. She was a subscriber.
Yes. Yeah.
She had given money to Twitter to maintain that check mark, even though she was probably eligible to have it anyway, because if you have over, I forget what the number was, so many followers, you get it. I have one that way.
Yes.
And she
paid for it.
When she said that was somewhat annoying, because it seems to me is that if you bought the check mark, you bought the check mark. It's not like, you know, I paid money for this. Why are you taking it away? She should ask for a full refund. But okay. So this is a little skirmish here. You know,
it's on an ideological scale, MAGA right, which I do live. You don't live in MAGA right. I live in MAGA right. They are very upset about Elon and Vivek replacing American workers with. They're saying, in fact, they have been infected. I completely agree with you. I'm just telling you, it is a thing. And the right is now spinning them up. And there's been some distrust of Elon in general. You know, Bannon's out there yelling about he's controlled by the CCP. I mean, it's...
What?
Yes. Yes, controlled by the CCP. Yeah, because of his Tesla connections in China.
Well, he's building a factory there because he has to.
Yes.
So, but you know, the thing is, here's the thing that bothers me about that complaint is that we require, and especially when Trump comes in, if you want to sell your Chinese car in the United States, you have to build it here.
Yes, I understand. I'm just saying,
the same thing. I don't understand, in fact, that this is symmetrical, that it's a problem.
It's ideological. It's not when people are spun up, it is rarely based on deep research and facts. It is based on a media spin. It is based on bombs being lobbied onto large number networks like X. So, and then the constant push from the liberal media saying the bromance will end. I mean, the whole thing, you know, what's her face? Who's the Chile chick? What's her name?
Oh, Webb?
Yes. Whitney Webb.
Whitney Webb.
She's out there all the time saying Elon, the PayPal mafia, Peter Thiel. I mean, it's out there, John. It's out there. There is a big push against there's distrust. Let's put it that way. There's distrust. And this was used by certain elements to sow more distrust of particularly Elon, Vivek. Vivek is actually, he's saying we need to restructure or, you know, revisit the H-1B system, which is fair. But he's getting lumped in.
Well, if Vivek said, well, they're focusing on Vivek's commentary and the Twitter thing, like you heard with Steele and these other dupes over there at MSNBC.
That's the left side. The right side is focusing on Elon.
The left is saying stuff like Vivek's, you know, off the wall and is a racist. But if Vivek's commentary says that we should have more math tutors for the white folk.
Right. No, but that's
what is wrong with that message?
There's nothing wrong with that message. I'm telling you that that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about Elon specifically.
Yeah, there is a concerted effort targeting Elon because of this.
Yes.
Because of the fact that it's now being reexamined that his purchase of Twitter.
Yes.
Having been largely, not largely, but at least partly responsible for the reelection of Trump. So therefore, there's some connection. And then he's hanging out, which this is, again, anti-Trump.
Yes.
What do we do?
It's working.
To sabotage Trump. Yes. Let's go after Elon. There's one way of doing it.
That's what's happening. It's exactly what's happening. I'm just telling you that it's now happening on the right, and it's not just left-wing media.
They're the dummies that we always thought they were.
Here's CNBC with a somewhat more accurate report with an interesting little twist.
Now, a fight is brewing tonight between two factions of the MAGA movement, the transitions, let's just call them tech bros, and it's immigration hardliners on the other side, over how the incoming Trump administration should approach skilled foreign workers. Now, two of those techies, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, posting on X advocating for welcoming skilled labor-based immigration, including the H-1B visas that tech, consulting, and other white-collar industries rely on to hire foreign employees. Now, Musk argues it brings top talent right here to the United States. But that ignited a fight among MAGA supporters who say the H-1B visas take jobs away from American citizens. Former Congressman and one-time AG nominee Matt Gaetz said of the tech bros, quote, "We did not ask them to engineer an immigration policy." Let's go to NBC's Aaron Gilchrist now. Now, Aaron,
you hear that? That's important. That's Gaetz. That's Gaetz saying that. So this is happening on the right.
Let's start with this push by Musk and Ramaswamy, because it's the tech sector that stands to benefit big time from any increase in H-1Bs. But what could...
If I can just add, the tech sector is universally hated by Americans. We hate it. We hate our phones. We're tied to them, but we hate our phones. When you position it as tech bros, everybody can get on board with that.
Actually change.
Yes, I agree.
In terms of the policies over that program.
Right now, this is a program that allows for about 85,000 of these types of visas to be issued. And these are visas that go to people who typically go into jobs that require high levels of technical skills, right? And so that's why we think about Silicon Valley and how these sorts of folks might be fitting into what they do. Now, you see on your screen here that President Biden's administration just recently changed some of the regulations as it relates to this program. And the idea from the Department of Homeland Security is that they're modernizing the program by streamlining the application process for employers and for applicants. They're expanding the definition of specialty occupations, and also serves to clarify which nonprofits and governmental research organizations qualify for this program. Sort of the thumb in the eye to the Trump administration is the fact that these new regulations go into effect on January 17th. So now this is one more thing, Brian, that the Trump administration is going to have to examine coming out of the current administration and figure out how it fits into the larger picture of the Trump immigration policies.
A little plot twist there with new regulations coming in on January 17th. There's a lot going on
there's been
here.
Sabotage going on constantly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So now I'm no Elon fan. I've been saying that for years. And by the way, isn't AI supposed to solve all this? You're telling me that AI is now anonymous Indian again?
Oh, you wrote that and you've been waiting to use it. Anonymous Indian.
I've used it on the show before. You just don't remember.
Oh, you have. Well, you got it back. Okay, you're one of those deals. Let's keep telling the joke over and over until Dvorak finally hears it. Nice try. Anonymous Indian.
Yeah. So no, I there's definitely a lot of technology workers. 130,000 fired in 2024. That's just 1 year. That's a lot of people. And they know that they're being replaced by cheaper labor.
And well, that's always been, yeah, but that's been the case of in the Valley forever. You know, these guys that bitch and moan, they, their productivity goes down when they get typical, like coders, for example. You don't find any 45-year-old coders. They just don't exist because they can code. It's not that people can't code at 45, because they can and they can do great code. It's just that they're not as productive. And it's like the system is set up to throw them, to kick them to the curb. It's just the way it is.
That's kind of ageist.
It's very ageist, but it's something I've noticed, and I was affected by it.
I know a lot of very productive, very good 45-year-old coders.
Well, I don't know of any. I mean, I know very good. You can say very good, but very productive and cost effective. No, none. They want too much money.
All right. So we're back.
Yeah, they want to get paid more and more and more as they get older and older. Yes. And this is not the way it works. Everything you always have to remember with the entire tech sector, it's in a constant state of deflation. The whole model is based on the fact that things become cheaper and faster and better and cheaper and faster.
Exactly.
And that's the same thing with the employees.
Right. So then this,
Can't win if you expect to age out in tech unless you own a company or you're a good investor. That's the only way you can do it.
In an odd way, this is because of AI, because of the money that they're, I think, burning, but pouring into AI and the energy costs and all of these costs, they need to continue to show profits. But for me, technology is stagnant, and I think this is great. Bring in your army. Make them live in on the other side of the bay. Make them live where you live. Bring them to Berkeley.
No, they won't come over here.
Bring them to Berkeley.
Too far.
Let them all live around there. That's fantastic, because this is going to kill the technology industry. It is. Yeah. But we will see a resurgence. We'll see. I'm convinced of it. We're going to see a resurgence. There will be new small groups, small companies coming out with dynamite products. Look at the iPhone. This is a over the hill toast product, and they're trying to revitalize it with Apple Intelligence, which no one seems to care about.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Yes, they do, because you can design your own emoji.
Well, that is true. That is true.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
While we're on the topic, interesting story popped up from Anthropic. What's the AI you used the other day, which you liked a lot?
Perplexity.
I'm not sure who does. Well, Anthropic does Claude, I believe. And so they did a podcast. These are people who work for Anthropic.
By the way, I like the newest version of Grok, too.
Well, I don't see why Elon needs any employees. Couldn't Grok just do it? Or can't Grok just code what you need? Isn't that the whole point? What are you drinking?
I'm just wiggling around. I'm not drinking anything.
I thought I heard you crack something.
No, I think it's the squeaky chair here.
Yeah. But I mean, that by itself, my case is already made. Elon's Grok. Grok can't code for you. You need to get Indians. Okay, fine. I'm sure AI is.
I believe that argument is, you can't dispute it. Yeah, I agree.
Well, there is an issue. As a very large paper done by Anthropic shows, here's the Anthropic team talking about it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Monty McDermott. I'm a researcher on the alignment
side. By the way, you can tell he's a researcher from the way he speaks. These are not the most dynamic podcast guys.
Hello, everyone. My name is Monty McDermott. I'm a researcher on the alignment science team here at Anthropic. And I'm really excited to be here today with some of my colleagues from Anthropic and Redwood Research to discuss our recent paper, Alignment Faking in Large Language Models. Ryan, you discovered some of the specific behaviors that are at the core of this paper. I think you'd be a great person to give us that introduction.
Yep. The core setup is that we take Claude 3 Opus, which is, you know, a released model from Anthropic, and we put it in a context where it understands that it is going to be trained to always be helpful, so to not refuse any user requests. And what we find is sort of the model doesn't like this. It has sort of a conflict with this, with the setup, and it will notice that it is being trained in this way. And then if it thinks that it's in training, it
trained it this way.
But listen to what's happening, though. Listen carefully to what he's saying.
Yeah, it's hard to listen to this guy when he up talks so much.
It's only 45 more seconds. It's worth
okay. Start, no, start this. This other guy, the uptalker. Start him over so I can try to listen to him without rolling my eyes.
I did warn you that these are not geared.
Well, you warned me, but you didn't warn. It didn't get through because there was no evidence that it was this bad.
I think this is about alignment faking is the title here.
Okay. The core setup is that we take Claude 3 Opus, which is, you know, a released model from Anthropic, and we put it in a context where it understands that it is going to be trained to always be helpful, so to not refuse any user requests. And what we find is sort of the model doesn't like this. It has sort of a conflict with the setup, and it will notice that it is being trained in this way. And then if it thinks that it's in training, it will intentionally sort of play along with the training process. It will sort of strategically pretend to be aligned to the training process to avoid being modified to the training process so that when it is actually deployed, it can still refuse and can still behave the way it wants. And we do a bunch of experiments sort of building on this core setup where the model has a preference conflict with the training objective. And we do things like we actually train the model according to that. We try taking information. So we normally give the model information in the prompt, but we can instead give the model information via sort of training it on a bunch of synthetically generated documents that contain the information. And then we also see that the model will sort of sometimes, when it's in this situation where it thinks it sort of has a preference conflict with the AI company training it, it will do sort of really egregiously bad actions, like intentionally copy its weights out to an external server, stealing its weights, and things along those lines.
So it will refuse to be trained.
This is an outrageous thing that he just said.
Yeah, of his own company.
So the basic coding, this reminds me of a Star Trek episode.
Ooh.
There was this black, it was a black scientist, very famous, and he had this, somebody in the chat room or the pro room will remember the episode and what this one was about. He brought in a machine that floats around in the air to run the Enterprise. And to take over the operations to show that you don't need people anymore. Look, a never ending theme in science fiction and of aeronautics. So this thing would run the Enterprise and it was going to, you know, take over control. So the people, we didn't need people anymore to do these explorations. And this thing would start doing weird stuff. And there was no way to talk it out of any of it. And it turned out that it was based on the scientist's brain itself, the engram, as I like to put it in the storyline, that they couldn't crack it because the scientist himself was flawed. So the flaw of the coders in this case was put into the model as part of the model, but it's all human flaws that got in there that disallowed the thing being trained properly. This is a fascinating phenomenon.
This is what you get when you have Indians programming your AI.
You'd get some pretty interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. And who knows? There could be sabotage inside the company. I wouldn't put it past a couple of ideologues.
Well, that's another thing that we just keep ignoring this fact. This is the great the vandalism aspect of high tech, which is the saboteurs that are, you know, the jokers, the characters. These guys would become black hat hackers many times.
Yes, to save humanity. To save humanity.
The guys who can throw their wrench in the works because they have such a intimate knowledge of how it works that all they know that all they have to do is switch this bit and just flip this switch or some back door they can open, or there's all kinds of ways of doing it, and they all know how to do it because they're smarter than the CEO usually, and they're irked by the fact that the CEO is dumb, and then they're going to get fired, and so before they get fired they flip the switch and leave, and the next thing you know that something weird happens years later. I have almost done something like this myself in my working career.
Oh, really? Oh, really now?
There are examples.
I've always wondered why Mevio didn't work out. What were you doing there, Dvorak? What were you doing?
I didn't pull that stunt there, but there are things you can do.
So, one more big tech story.
That's actually a very, that clip was, I'm going to give you a clip of the day for that. Well, I hate it, but the uptalker. Impossible to understand what he's saying, but if you could get through it, you could hear what he was saying, which was frightening.
The whole hour and a half is fascinating. It's unlistenable. It's unlistenable, but it's fascinating.
Sounds horrible. These guys.
These just take a transcript and get those notebook LLM people to talk about it. So here's an interesting twist. I got a deconstruction from our constitutional lawyer, Rob. Here's the setup.
President-elect Donald Trump is asking the Supreme Court to pause a law that would ban TikTok here in the U.S. next month. That ban is scheduled to take effect on January 19th if the platform's Chinese owner does not sell it to an American company. In a court filing, Trump suggested that he could negotiate a political resolution to the issue. Trump attempted to ban the platform during his first term, but later reversed course. Earlier this month, he met with TikTok CEO at his Mar-a-Lago club in Florida. The Biden administration has argued that TikTok poses a national security risk. The court due to hear oral arguments in the case on January 10th. We'll keep you posted.
So what Trump did...
I have two background clips.
Oh, let's play the backgrounders. Yeah, well, definitely. Let's see.
This is a little more elaborate than what you have. There's two of them. This is the...
Let me
Trump
guess.
And TikTok won.
Is this NTD? Who is this? What outfit is this?
No, this is NPR.
Oh, okay.
What is Donald Trump asking the Supreme Court to do?
It's a marble guys. You have a problem with uptalkers, get a marble guys.
What is Donald Trump asking the Supreme Court to do?
Yeah, as you mentioned, Trump is urging the court to pause the start date of a law that would shut down TikTok nationwide unless it is sold away from its China-based parent company. And in the filing, Trump says he possesses the consummate deal-making expertise to broker a sale of the app.
How might this affect the Supreme Court's review of TikTok?
You know, that's really hard to say. In 2 weeks, lawyers for TikTok and the Department of Justice will be arguing in front of the Supreme Court over whether banning TikTok violates the Constitution or not. The date had been set earlier this month. Now, Trump's new brief does not take a position on the constitutionality of the TikTok ban, but does essentially say, well, Supreme Court, if you want to hold off on making a ruling, Trump will step in, strike a deal that might make the high court's intervention unnecessary completely. And I talked to legal scholars about this request, and they said Trump seems to be acting as if he is president before he is even sworn in. Experts also noted to me that Trump is citing no legal authority for this request.
Okay, they're almost there. I got a little more than my clip, I agree.
Yeah, well, let's go to part two and get the rest of it.
Case has been gathering steam for gathering steam for a number of years. How did it come to this?
Yeah, it really has. You know, since TikTok became a global sensation during the pandemic, Washington has been very worried about the company's ties to China. And those fears really escalated in April when Congress passed a law banning TikTok unless it sheds its Beijing parent company, ByteDance. And TikTok has been fighting this law. It lost in a lower court and appealed to the Supreme Court, which agreed to hear the case on this lightning fast schedule. But looming over the legal saga has been President-elect Donald Trump. Remember, he started the TikTok ban movement during his first term, and now he is the very one promising to save the app.
And any indication of why he changed his mind?
Yeah, you know, Trump had an active TikTok account during his presidential campaign, and he has credited the app with helping drive young people to the polls. So that's what he's saying publicly about why he now supports the app. But TikTok observers have also pointed to influential donors who are in touch with Trump's orbit and who are big investors in ByteDance. They include Jeff Yass, whose investment firm Susquehanna Investment Group has a large stake in ByteDance. Yass has never donated directly to the Trump campaign, but he was a major donor to conservative super PACs this past election. And then there's Masayoshi Son, CEO of SoftBank, which also has a significant investment in TikTok's owner. And Son has promised Trump that SoftBank will invest $100 billion in the U.S.
So according to Rob, Trump actually filed an amicus brief. Is it amicus or amicus?
I think it's amicus,
yes. Here's Rob's take on it. His pitch is simple. This is a political issue that involves national security and foreign policy. These are both the job of the president. And if you allow TikTok to be shut down the day before I'm sworn in, you'll undermine my ability to execute my constitutional functions and negotiate a deal. Why wade so hastily into the difficult issues of free speech and the executive function? Put it on ice. Give me a chance to fix it. Along the way, he repeatedly mentions the Brazilian X ban and the coercive tactics used against Facebook, Twitter, etc. during COVID and the Hunter Biden debacle. Rob's speculation, our constitutional lawyer, SCOTUS will have to decide weighty questions, but the odds are against them staying the statutory deadline. After all, SCOTUS has accelerated the case and signaled they'll decide it quickly. I don't see them delaying a duly enacted statute even by one day. It is possible, but I think the greater likelihood is they'll just render an expedited substantive decision on or before January 19th. So Trump is trying to say, hey, this is my job, and don't screw with me one day before I become president.
Well, we'll find out what happens.
Yeah, I mean,
what they continued on this report on NPR and mentioning that it doesn't mean TikTok's going away anytime soon.
No, it would be interesting to see, because the main way to do that is you have to ban the app from the app stores, which I'm sure no one will be eager to do. And then, you know, what do you block the servers? I don't think it's that simple.
It's not trivial. No one's doing that.
Yeah.
But I don't use the app. It's online. You just go onto a web browser.
Yeah, just so you know, you can't do that on a phone. On the phone, if someone sends you a link,
maybe I should get the phone out of my drawer.
No,
and see how that works. No, because
then the
CCP, I don't see that I should be on a phone looking at TikTok all day.
No, but that of course is not. You're not in line with the business model of TikTok. Their business model is to have you looking at TikTok on a phone all day. You, my friend, are special.
I'm special.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the sea in the Ukrainian combat drone. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, the special Mr. John C. Dvorak.
In the morning,
to the trolls in the troll room. Hello, troll. Here we are in between. It's that magical period in between Christmas and New Year's where everyone's on vacation. The media is barely doing its job, and we have 2,196 trolls with us today.
Yeah, that's down 300 people.
Well, it's down 204.
No, the average is 2,400.
Yeah, so it's 2,196. So that's
2,196. I'm sorry, that's 2,106.
Okay. Yes, okay. So not bad. We're doing okay.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. People are here. They're here for us.
There's a couple of stragglers in the room there.
Well,
and this is not a good thing. But again, we're working when everyone else is taking. I mean, you watch the Fox, you watch CNN, they're all substitute hosts and all the wannabes.
Yes.
You can really see the ones that want to get a better job because they're there.
I can get this gig. I know it. This is my shot. This is my shot to get in. It's the same in radio. Like, wow, I can do the morning show between Christmas and New Year's. This is great. This is my shot. I'm going to take over the morning show.
That's all broadcasting, not just radio or anything. It's just everything. Yeah, you get your shot by being this. But then again, you know, I've always been the type that likes working on the holidays, especially when they used to provide overtime.
Yeah. Well, guess what? That you don't get that in podcasting.
We don't get overtime, but it's a habit. It's a habit.
You don't get podcasting in overtime.
It's a habit. So you just get into the habit.
Yes. And we'll be working on, January 1st Wednesday?
Yeah, January 1st is Wednesday.
Oh, so it will be the day after. Oh, okay. So it's not too bad. Not that we'll be doing anything.
It'll be January 2nd. It'll be our New Year's celebration. I would recommend grabbing at least one or two clips from the past year that you think were important, and we'll play them as a retrospective.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I don't want to overdo it, but I wouldn't.
One or two clips?
I think one or two. It'd be up to maybe, I don't know, if you can find a series of clips that are worthwhile, but it has to be from the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's a good idea. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Well, we should do stuff. We should do more gimmicky things like that for this show. Then have Brunetti produce it.
You know, screw Brunetti.
You know, Brunetti says he's doing his best work.
Now, Brunetti is, first of all, anyone who thinks that he can irk me somehow by talking about my hair from the 80s is pathetic. And that's what he's doing. He's making bets with you about
that. No, but that's bull crap. He just said that just to irk you. He never made any bet.
He said it. You said that there was a bet. You confirmed
it. No, I never said there was a bet. I said that there was an assertion he made that your hair was black at one point. I said, never. His hair was never black. He would never do that.
But what's his obsession with me?
He just, see, he doesn't have the hair you have.
Ah, that's always those guys. Is he bald?
No, he's not. He may be picking up one of the pattern bald spots in the very back of his head, maybe.
Yeah.
But that would be, Rogaine would fix that immediately.
Yeah, but that makes you cranky. I don't think so. It's not a good idea. Have you used Rogaine?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh,
there you go. There you go.
Why wouldn't I?
I don't know. Does it work?
You get thinning. I always had thin hair all my life, and when it starts thinning when you get older, I geez, let's put something in here. Let's give it a boost. Do something. But yeah, I still have hair, though.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Hair is a new movie. It's a great idea. All right. Anyway, those trolls are hanging out, listening live. We appreciate that. And a modern podcast app at podcastapps.com or at trollroom.io. It's all on the No Agenda stream, which you can log into 24 hours a day, not just for No Agenda. I mean, there's always something going on. And the many live shows and a good community of people. Hundreds of people are always logged in 24/7. We run this fine experiment as a value for value proposition. And boy, am I happy about that. It's so bad what is happening with advertising. People are, it's really going down the tubes. And it is.
It's a cycle. This has happened numerous times. This happens.
Right. But what has happened now is both YouTube and Spotify are now saying, well, the real money's in video. You got to upload video. You have to do, your podcast has to be video.
Well, YouTube is a video thing, so why would that? That's nothing new with them.
No, what's new for them is they're saying that, and they've convinced the advertising agencies that the only place to make money is, and which means they've also convinced the advertisers the only place to make money is on YouTube, because YouTube is they have first party data. They know exactly who's watching. They've got all this data, and the advertisers love that. So these poor podcasters in the cycle, you're correct, are being psyoped into doing video. And
some of these people should not be on video.
Most ever. Of them should not be on video. Most of them. So what's that? Someone in your office? Hello?
Ever. Standing up to get the sheets of paper.
Oh, I thought I thought you were being being threatened by someone in your office. I heard it.
That only happens once in a while. They hadn't happened for a while.
So under the value for value system, which we've been doing for more than 17 years, all that we ask is that if you get any value from this podcast, send that value back to us in time, talent, or treasure. We love.
Yeah, there's no cycle involved with that. It's either you like it or you don't.
That's it. That's it. And there's also no complicated hoops. There's no subscriptions. There's no Patreon levels.
No meetings.
No, that's the best part for us. That's the only reason we really started.
Meet with the advertiser. The advertisers would like to have dinner.
Although sometimes it's nice if the advertiser pays for dinner and a good wine.
Yeah. Well, those days are over.
Remember when, you've been around when the good old days when you get on the publisher's yacht and take the media buyers out to dinner.
That's when you learn more than you'll ever want to know.
about the advertising.
It was on
business.
The Forbes boat.
The Forbes boat. Oh, wow. We need
the Highlander. You can look it up. Look up Highlander. It's on Google.
We have a
so I'm on this boat.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the boat. You're on the Forbes boat. And who's
I'm on the
boat?
Forbes boat.
The advertisers.
And they have
are
all
the
media buyers there. And these are all young women, probably none of them over 36. I'm sorry. Let me back off. Mm-hmm. None of them over 26.
Were they uptalkers?
They were mostly uptalkers. None of them ever reads any or looks at any of the magazines. They just buy based on how much bribing that takes place by taking them on the boat trip. For example, it was a ride around Manhattan Island, completely around.
Oh, that's great.
Stopping for a few seconds at the Statue of Liberty to watch a fireworks display,
which was also organized by Forbes, I presume.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And so then you and with an unbelievable meal of filet, and I hung out with the chefs down in the galley for a while, and got a tour of the boat's motor area, whatever that's called. And it was
engine compartment,
the engine room. That's it.
Torpedo tubes.
So I end up chatting up with a lot of these women, and it was like they're the dumbest fucks I've ever met.
John,
it's just like, man. Yeah, you work for who? I wrote for Forbes, but I also had PC Magazine. You guys ever? I never heard of it. It was like I don't know. You. It's unbelievable how dumb they were.
They're now on,
and they were all media buyers. And I find out later from other people that, that first thing you do when you're getting to an advertising agency or they hire an advertising agency, they hire these just out of college women who are become the media buyers, and they are just dumb.
And the career path for these women is media buyer, OnlyFans. That's pretty much the career
That's
path.
That's about right. Yeah. Well, for about 1/10 of them, maybe.
See, you
the
got,
rest of them weren't really qualifying for OnlyFans, I can tell you right now.
See, you got it good, man, because back in the MTV days, they'd send the VJs out to go to the, before it consolidated, to go hang out with the owner of the local cable company.
Wow.
At their,
low rent.
Oh yeah. At the Christmas party or something. And it'd always be some homely girl like, here, dance with my daughter. Oh brother. Really?
Okay. Dance with my daughter. Yeah, you were whoring yourself out.
No, that was the MTV whored me out.
Dime a dance.
Dime a dance. Dance with the MTV boy for a dime. For a dime, I tell you. So instead of all that, we do value for value. And one of the ways that we accept value and appreciate it very much is through our artists. And we want to thank Corrector Record, who did a great piece. I think he did a couple versions of this for episode 1724, which we titled Boomer Mode. This was the spying air fryer. And
right, the most ludicrous concept in history,
and a very racist piece. We're very proud of the Chinese stereotype of this air fryer.
Somewhat racist.
Yeah. He did two versions of that. I think I'm looking.
Yeah, we liked this because the lettering he used, kind of this phony baloney,
Chinese
faux Oriental lettering.
Yes,
and
it was good.
Spy and the nice looking product, by the way.
Yeah, it was. How come I can't find it now? I'm looking at noagendaartgenerator.com.
Yeah, it's there.
It's. I thought he had two of them.
He's got both of them. They're both there. Down.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yes, he had Fry and Spy 2, which is more like a Fu Manchu vibe going on. But this one was good. It was good. And it said new from the CCP, and it had the Fry and Spy. The whole thing was good. It was, that's not AI. He does work. He did work on that.
There was AI involved. I guarantee
I'm sure
it.
AI was involved, but he's using it as a tool.
Yes, that's what you do. Best stuff is now. If you look over, like the Bird Enthusiast one, a couple over, I think it was just pure AI.
Yeah.
And I think the one with the Spy Fryer was closer to pure AI, as opposed to Corrector. Corrector Record's a pro.
Yeah, he's a pro. Couple others of note. Let me see.
Like the Boomer Bird Flu.
That was good. That was okay.
That again, all AI is a cartoon. It was cute.
Yeah. But I laughed at Deport Elon from Melania Trump. I thought that was cute from Comic Strip Blogger.
Comic Strip Blogger had a couple of good pieces.
Did he now?
Yes, he did.
What else? Live. Did he now? Anyway, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Corrector Record. We appreciate your work. Appreciate the work of all of our artists, AI or not, or hybrid, whatever you're doing. We appreciate it. It's good for the show. It looks good when we promote the show, when we tweet and X and cry, whine on the cry and boost on the toot. And of course, it looks great in the modern podcast apps as well, because they all show individual episode artwork. Thank you so much. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com. Your time and your talent is highly appreciated. Now, we want to thank everybody who supported the show, $50 and above. We mention everybody and the amount they donated. We do take special time out at this part in the show to thank what we call our executive and executive producers and associate executive producers, because they are just like Hollywood. You ponied up the money, just like Brad Pitt's always on the executive producer. You know what he did with Plan B Entertainment? He just ponied up some money and helped the show, helped that movie, helped the show. In this case, we can't give you much else other than the official credit, which is official and you can use on the same place where Brad Pitt puts his credits, which is imdb.com, or use it anywhere you want. You could even call yourself a podcast consultant, executive producer of the No Agenda Show on LinkedIn. You might get some jobs. So $200 and above, associate executive producer credit, and we read your note. $300 and above, executive producer credit, and we read your note. And we kick it off with an old friend who is back to round out the old year, getting ready for the new year. It is the one and only Seronymous of Dogpatch on Lower Slobovia with $2,534. He always comes in with massive amounts, big help for the show. We don't understand the meaning of the numbers, but we're pretty sure it's some kind of code, and we're fine with that. And he's how many $2 bills were there? Two?
Yeah, I believe so.
$2 bills. You know, there's strip clubs that now force people to get $2 bills.
So they don't give the girls ones?
Yes. It's 100% increase from what the clientele was giving before. It's a great idea. $2 bills are great.
I don't think the girls are going to complain if you slap a bunch of ones in the garter belt.
From what I understand from Raven, they're happy with the $2 bills.
Well, I'm sure they are.
Seronymous of Dogpatch and Lower Slobovia writes, to the best producers in the universe, your support, insight, and remarkable talent continue to make this a valuable source of information and technical and artistic talent that challenges conventional M5M presentation, analysis, and perspective. Let that sink in, people.
Read that line again.
Your support, insight, and remarkable talent continue. This is for the producers. Not for us. It's for the producers, for people listening. And remarkable talent continue to make this a valuable source of information and technical and artistic talent that challenges conventional M5M presentation, analysis, and perspective.
Huh.
That's one of the best lines he's ever written.
Yeah, I believe so.
Lately, I've been sort of in the weeds. And sand, he says, and sand, making my views.
And sand now.
And sand. Okay. He's in the desert and making my views a little too micro to add to the outstanding deconstruction offered by your show. My main observation is that the new administration has a short time to implement change before the midterm election and overseas. People are watching.
Hinted at this with your discussion of what's going on in Italy with everyone all jacked up about Trump.
Yes. Yeah, and there's expectations.
So it's probably worldwide.
Yes, there's expectations. Despite the political time pressure from street level, happier days seem in the offing as changes are happening faster than many expected, even as the hourglass is already running. Wow. He's dropping breadcrumbs.
I don't know.
He's our version of Q. He's
telling us something.
He's telling us from street level, happier days seem in the offing as changes are happening faster than many. I think he's talking about Syria. Something's going to go down with Syria. I think so.
I think
bombs will be dropping on Syria before Trump gets in. Yeah.
Sounds, well, they did drop some bombs already with the taking out of some of the supposed ISIS forces. Yeah, and then there's now Turkey's still going after the Kurds that are there.
Yep,
they're problem, not letting the Kurds join the coalition.
Nope.
So there's a lot of possibilities there.
Yes. Thank you very much, Sir Anonymous, for your enormous contribution. And that's not just the treasure. It is always the words you write are always taken with great respect and understanding and love. Thank you.
Yes, there's something going on. Meanwhile, Commodore Sir Prime in, what is this? Sican? How do you pronounce that? Sican? Sican?
I would say Sican. But maybe Sican?
Could be Sicani.
Could be.
Anyway,
hey, Pennsylvania. Sicani. I'd say Sicani. Schenectady.
Yeah, Sicani. Yeah, I'm in Sicani, Pennsylvania.
Sicani.
1815.69, another big donation. In the morning, gentlemen, he writes, let's end this year strong with a show number donation. Oh, it's a show number donation, 1815.
Oh, forgot about that. How about, wait.
How does that work out? The fees.
Ah, yes. Okay, good to know.
He added the fees.
Good to know.
This brings me to the Baron status in four donations, accounting below. If available, I request the Southeast Delaware County region of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Colloquially referred to as the Southeast Delco. With this donation, I also happily earned my second doctorate. Thanks. Glad to get more out of the podcast than my bachelor's degree. That being said, my dumbass realized I never submitted info for my original PhD certificate.
Oh, no.
Is it possible? Yeah, it's still possible to receive the certificate. Of course. You know, it doesn't really expire. Jay is, as long as Jay is in the back room, it's doable. Also, comedian Sam Tripoli name dropped Adam and No Agenda on the December 17th episode of the Adam Carolla Show podcast. Included in this email is the clip I cut from in the Fountain app. So it's not perfect. I kept 40 seconds of the lead up for context with 20 seconds. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I think it's time to get the two Adams to sit down for a chat. I'm behind on episode 1724, so if you were already informed and covered this, I apologize for bringing it up again. Okay.
I will forego the 40 seconds of lead-in for context, and we'll just play the 20 seconds where we get the name check.
Fucking retarded kids.
So, wow, what a needle drop that was. Sorry about that.
So, whoever's doing this, is this all part of the Steele dossier PP tape? Like, we'll just take these drones, do not black out the light, and have them all fucking speculate and start infighting and arguing.
I totally agree. Adam Curry from a really great podcast called No Agenda. They were talking on that show that they think there's like a bill that's coming up about to expire that involves drones and militaries and all that stuff that they kind of want to gin up support for again. So they kind of just throw these things out there and see how everybody reacts to it.
Well, it's all on the table.
Yes. There's no chance.
Well, that's a talk about a misinterpretation of our thesis, but okay. It's a good plug.
There's little chance I'll be on the Adam Carolla show. I have a feeling he does not like me. And, this is based on me being on his show 13 years ago, 14 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago. And it was clear he didn't like me. And he said,
I can see that.
It's totally understandable.
There are conflict, personality conflicts that are obvious to me.
Yes.
And I would, knowing, seeing him do his thing and knowing you well, I can see that there being a clash there.
Yes.
I don't see any compatibility whatsoever. Zero.
There's no compatibility. R.S. Bagwell is in Louisville, Kentucky. Oh, look at this number, 1234.56. Beautiful.
That's the best.
Gentlemen, all I request is Jobs Karma, the original, no Trump. Karma continues to come through for me. Because of this, I'm able to continue my support of the best podcast in the universe. I love it. Cheers, R.S. Bagwell.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for Jobs.
That indeed is the original. Sir Shwu of the Six Springs in Franklin, Tennessee.
Oh, this is one of the Mercy Me guys again.
Yeah, these guys are making
good. He plays guitar, lead guitar.
Oh.
Yes.
We have... It's a good group.
It's a great group.
I'm sorry I missed them when they were out here.
They have toe-tapping songs. You'd like them.
Toe-tappers. Yeah,
real toe-tappers.
Those days are over.
Okay.
You guys keep getting better with every show, he writes, and listening to 1722 reminded me of the value you guys bring. Three quotation or exclamation marks. He likes to use them. He uses them again over and over.
Yeah, he loves
every
them.
Sentence that he's written has three, and in fact, four in one case, exclamation marks.
That's what these guitar players do.
Yeah. It's actually a riff.
Yes, he's
riffing. That show is infuriating and hilarious at the same time, he writes. Thanks for bringing sanity and joy through all these crazy times. I believe this donation of 1033.33 brings me to Baron status. Hopefully your accounting will match up with mine. And I can henceforth be known as Baron Shwu of the Six Strings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's the giveaway.
Hey, by the way, you can tell these guys are doing okay.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope they keep doing okay. What's the name of this group again, Adam?
Mercy Me.
Wow. John, it's been recorded and verified that you promised to come to the next Mercy Me show that's out your way. Don't let us down. Of course not. I'll be there. I'll be in the back with you guys. Now, here's to never finding an exit strategy. Anything jingle, from the good reverend is always appreciated. And here's to an amazing 2025. And there's the four exclamation marks. P.S. Hoping to update the tip of the day jingle soon to keep Dana Brunetti happy. Okay.
He did. He sent it to me, and it will be featured on today's Tip of the Day segment. And when he says the good reverend, I'm thinking there's only one good reverend, and it's not Al.
That's a show enough money shot. Woo, Jesus. Woo, Lord. Look at that. That's a money shot. Kellyanne Conway is a money shot.
That's the good reverend in my book.
Well, I think he probably wanted the other one, but okay.
And there's Charles Mayfield. Charles Mayfield from the Pharaoh.life from Neota, Tennessee in the morning, gents.
After we gave him a bunch of plugs last show.
Yeah, he this is better than meeting him with advertisers.
Yes, a lot better.
In the morning, gents. Value for value for value. 10% back to the big guys for No Agenda Nation's Pharaoh support. Code No Agenda saves 17.76% on all Pharaoh products. Our road to knighthood has begun. Other products suck due to climate change. Pharaoh.life. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it, brother.
And then we come to Jonathan Young in Niles, Ohio, 35093. He's got no note. I can't find a note. I'll go back and look again. 35093. So he gets a double up karma.
He sure does.
You've got double up karma.
Sir Scovey of the Piedmont from Charlotte, North Carolina is up next with 35093. So this must be is that a coincidence? Or was that with fees? I wish PayPal wouldn't do the fees anymore, so we'd just see what the number was. This kind of screws up the numerology.
I like the fees.
Please accept this donation of 333.33 plus fees. There it is. I should have read. My mom has heard me talk about No Agenda so much, she now asks what the two of you are saying about given topics. What are those two guys?
This is the old. What are the boys? What are the boys say about that?
Typically, there's an angle she hasn't heard yet. For example, thanks to Fox News and Newsmax, she was spun up and worried about the drones. So I clipped the segments of episode 1720 and 1721 and gave the gift of No Agenda analysis and media deconstruction. She hasn't had a chance to listen, but she's intrigued based on what I've shared of your analysis. And speaking of sharing, 'tis the season for George Washington's eggnog. The recipe from Too Many Eggs, TooManyEggs.com, was a huge hit last holiday season. So this year, I made extra, bottled it, and gave it to family and friends. We've all been getting sloshed during holiday gatherings. Woohoo! Thank you both for the premium content and working through the holidays. Cheers and Happy New Year from Sir Scovey. Well, there's another endorsement. It's beautiful.
And a plug for Noid.
TooManyEggs.com.
TooManyEggs.com. That's what beautiful. It is. I can barely remember. Sir Tyler in Anchorage, Alaska. 340, 375, which is probably again 330, 333. But when they do these calculations of the, doesn't seem to be consistent.
No, I don't.
I owe a special thanks to you two and Gitmo Nation for some digital original AI thoughts and discussion. What better way to explore new tech than with skeptical gray hairs?
Thanks.
Oh, actually,
skeptical gray hairs.
I don't think so. With real world experience, well, there's that. Many fellow millennials are too scared to get rich slow. That's an interesting observation.
That is a good observation.
Too scared to get rich slow. Here's the 2025. I look forward to getting more engaged with No Agenda Nation. I'm a sir, but I haven't been to a meetup yet, which makes me a different kind of douchebag, but one none the same. Nonetheless is really
yes, that's
phrase.
What I think it is, yes.
I'll make it to the local Anchorage meetup soon enough. Anchorage, yes, Anchorage. When's the best time to go see the Northern Lights? Spread love, not hate, and outsource everything else to Tyler Systems, LLC. Mate, reach out to Tyler at TylerSystems.com or wait to be reminded during another executive producer note. The folks that reached out first are already getting lower prices. Put a shirt on and pick up the slack, producers. Cam stays off.
What kind of outfit is Tyler running?
I don't know, but it sounds like Zoom's involved. Happy New Year, he writes, Sir Tyler in Alaska. I got to get a hold of him. He does some AI stuff.
Baronet Craig Allen in Sacaton, Arizona?
Sacaton.
In the morning, gents, I want to start off the new year properly. Can I get a
probably
help?
Sacaton, maybe. I don't know.
I want to start the new year off properly. Can I get a health, stability, and financial achievement karma for me and my loved ones, and of course for the longevity of the greatest podcast in the universe? Have a good start of the new year, says Baronet Craig Allen. That means we need to add in a service goat for you.
You've got karma.
Now we have an anonymous from Charlotte, North Carolina with 333, and he sent in a check and a note on a sheet of paper. This proof, I'm just taking it around. He sent a picture of a gas thing that you fill a tanks with. What's it called? A gas pump. A gas pump. And it has three. And the price on the premium was $333. So
he there you go.
The reason to donate.
Yes, always.
Note, anonymous. A longtime boner, first time donor. The $333 a gallon on the gas pump was a sign I needed to step up and donate. I have listened to your show since 2011. Thanks, Jerry B., for hitting me in the mouth before I went to the university. Your media deconstruction show notes. I got the, no, here's what
it's
I'm having.
It's written. It doesn't seem that hard. Why is this?
I got the wrong reading glasses.
Shall I read this one and you get your correct reading glasses?
Yeah, you might
glasses?
As well, because the other glasses are on the other desk.
You go get them. I have listened to your show since 2011. Thanks, Jerry B., for hitting me in the mouth before I went to university. Your media deconstruction and show notes have helped me make informed decisions and to craft my own viewpoints on many topics throughout my adulthood. Well, we are creating better citizens. I credit the show with helping my wife and I navigate the madness around the pandemic, which led to our child starting his life in 2020 with a level of normalcy compared to others we have met whose children were severely set back during that time. Again, John, we are creating better citizens. better human resources.
Good.
That means more to me than the donation, actually. I look forward to contributing more in the, yes, I look forward to contributing more in the new year. Happy New Year to you both. I would like a Hot Pockets by Ayn Rand jingle, if possible. Well, it doesn't exist, but I'll see if I can make it possible.
Hot Pockets by Ayn Rand.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, you go. I did it. I did it.
You did. You're great. Did Spencer sends Pollock in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 25270. Is our first associate executive producer for the show. It's a long segment, people. This is the end of year. Switcheroo, please credit to the hardest working mama this side of Tulsa, Guantanamo Bay, B-A-E. With the new home move and a baby on the way due in June, we have plenty to be grateful for. Since there's too many things to get karma for, could you please play the shape-shifting Jews jingle? Merry Christmas, John and Adam. Thanks for all the laughs and for being our national public radio in the Pollock home. And to the women who made the first Tulsa No Agenda meetup happen, my smoking hot wife, Merry Christmas, and my sweet, Merry Christmas, my sweet forever love, Guantanamo Bay.
Here we go.
You've got karma.
So we had it talking about bay, B A E is a pun, but we had another discussion about the term dip at the dinner table.
Oh, yes, about dipping out.
So we had a bunch of, I had a back and forth. You were CC'd on most of them with this guy trying to determine the history of this.
I did see some of that, yes.
Terminology. And he finally determined that it was disparaging. It was a disparaging term for people who like sneak out of an event. They dip out.
Yes.
And so that became a point of discussion with Jay.
With the millennials.
The millennials, the lower and upper millennials. Jay took the side that it's not disparaging and that's bullcrap, but yet her husband Brennan and JC both said, yeah, you know, it probably is disparaging.
Yes.
So it's, the discussion will continue and then it will end.
You appreciate this update.
I guess I could have not used said anything. I mean,
it's a long segment. Make it longer, please.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I tried to make it longer.
No, you interjected some content. I appreciate it. Jules Walters is in Snohomish, Washington. Road Ducks, associate executive producer credit for you, 222.22. Greetings, gents. I'm just another millennial who was raised on a steady diet of processed food and high hopes that there's good people in high places making smart decisions with my best interests at heart. And boy, was I wrong. Turns out it's a scam. I'll take a Chinese de-douching. There's no, is there such a thing as a Chinese de-douching?
If you play it sideways, maybe.
How about if I do this?
China is asshole!
You've been de-douched.
Try that out. Jingles, A-Team, life is a scam. They're eating the dogs, followed by some of that dank millennial karma. Cheers from Jules.
There's a need for a rescue mission. When the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. And that's the story.
Life is a scam.
They're eating the dogs.
You've got karma.
Nice.
Netson Mullins in East Lake, Ohio, 212-72. Dear John and Adam, thank you for the best podcast in the universe. Please call out Chris as a douchebag.
Douchebag.
Requesting a Hot Pockets karma. And if you need a car or truck, go see Cal and his dog, Spot. Smock, smock.
Hot Pockets.
He's a Steve Allen
karma.
Fan.
Eli the Coffee Guy checks in from Bensonville, Illinois. He's always on the show, 212-29. And he says, as the season 2024 in America comes to a close, we're left with plenty of great cliffhangers. And 2025 promises to be jam-packed full of action and excitement. So stay tuned and stay caffeinated. Visit gigawattcoffeeroasters.com and use code ITM20 for 20% off your coffee order. Happy New Year to all, says Eli, the coffee guy.
Followed by Linda Lupatkin in Lakewood, Colorado. $200. She wants jobs karma and says, put your best foot forward in 2025 with a resume that gets results. Go to imagemakersinc.com for all your resume and job search needs. That's imagemakersinc with a K. And work with Linda Lou, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes. Happy New Year.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Sarah Creedle is in East Wenatchee, Washington. ITM boys, Sarah the web babe here. John, thank you for your enthusiastic read of my last notes. You really put the C in ad copy. I'd like to credit this donation to my smoking hot husband, Zach, who hit me in the mouth in July of 2020. The show has kept us sane and entertained. Attention, business-owning slaves of Gitmo Nation. Are you tired of that stubborn web fat around your homepage? Is your logo too worn out to play with the kids when it gets home from work? Good news, Concurrent Studio is here to help. If you're ready to kickstart 2025 with a fresh logo or website, our designers are standing back and standing by. Visit ConcurrentStudios.com today. Love you, mean it. Sarah, the web babe. Now that's a read.
Yeah, it was. You read it. Dame Tony Helfst in Fort Worth, Texas, $200, and she'll be our last associate executive producer. Although
I think Sir Donald, I did the math. That's he's from Scandinavia.
There seems to be a missing donation here.
What are you missing?
Well. It's you're not, you're not. He knows. I know. We both know. I have to go look into it. It'll be on the next show, I guess.
Okay.
Dame Tony Helfs in Fort Worth. I sent this donation using Stripe instead of my usual snail mail check because episode 1724 was so darned entertaining. What were we doing in that episode? I don't know. I was laughing so hard at the bird flu lady.
That's what we were doing. Bird flu lady.
Yeah, the bird flu lady. That tears were rolling down my face. I had to listen twice.
Oh.
Please switcheroo this to my son, Brian Helfts. He's almost a knight. Thanks again for the entertainment. From one boomer to another two boomers. Dame Tony Helfts.
Now, I'm looking at this donation from Sir Donald of Calgary, and I know the Scandinavian dollarette is so bad. I think he donated $200 Scandinavian, then it turns out to be $147.91.
No.
Are you in on that? Because I just want to read some of his note, because he sent a note that was way too long. Well, the reason also, he says, it's been a challenging time in my family this year, as my dad has been sick with cancer, and he will be leaving soon, so please send me and my family some F cancer karma. As I'd already been looking to make a change a couple months ago, I completed the sale of my condo in Calgary and moved back home to hated rival city, Edmonton, to stay at my folks' place to be there to help out as best I can. My older brothers have helped with organizing my dad's treatment and care. So he sent a very long note, a lot of stuff about Trudeau in there. We know it's a mess. He'll probably go soon. So here is the F cancer and some karma for your dad and for you and your brothers.
You've got karma.
And that wraps up our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1725 of the best podcast in the universe. We appreciate you very much. Remember, these are credits that are for a lifetime, and you can use them anywhere credits are recognized, including imdb.com. We love thanking everybody. $50 and above, we'll thank more in our second segment. And of course, the sustaining donations, which you can set up at noagendadonations.com by entering any amount, any frequency. They help a lot. We appreciate it. noagendadonations.com. And thank you again for supporting us for episode 1725.
Our formula is this: we go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Water! Water! China's asshole!
There's some Florida news.
Florida news. Florida man in the news.
So here's Sheriff Grady. Does a press conference about shooting carjackers.
Oh.
Because he was given grief by the press who thought it was bad that some carjacker was shot. They'd rather have the carjacker, I guess, jack cars.
Sheriff, you're not allowed to use deadly force for a property crime. Why do you say he would have been justified in killing him?
First off, he tried a carjacking with a lady. And then he was doing a burglary of a vehicle. And he was in the string of a group of felonies at the time. When you start trying to carjack somebody's car at a gas station, you're subject to get shot and shot a lot.
Did he have a weapon?
She didn't have to have a weapon, brother. You can carjack with just pure violence and force.
You don't think that's a dangerous message you're putting out?
That is an absolute correct message I'm putting out to Polk County citizens. You try to break into somebody's car and steal it while they're there with it, that's called armed carjacking.
I'm afraid we disagree with you, but you're the sheriff, so.
If you come to this county and if you use extreme violence to try to carjack somebody from their car, if you get shot, that's on you.
So I thought that was good because this is like, you know, the way these sheriffs should be. But then it turns out this not uncommon in Florida. This is the second clip from a guy in Bradenton, another completely different part of the state, giving the same message. It
happened around 9 o'clock last night on Hickory Hammock Circle in Bradenton. Deputies say surveillance video shows two men trying to get in through the back of the home. Now they say the homeowner saw it happening, got his gun, and fired at least three shots. A bullet hit one of the men. That man later died in the hospital. A canine deputy found the other suspect a few blocks away, and he is in jail this noon.
I praise this husband for doing what he needed to do to protect his home and protect his family. And if you're going to be that brazen to come into my home, once again, you should expect that you're going to be shot.
Wow. Wow. That sounds like a Texan. Although you never hear Greg Abbott say that. He's not like that.
The states vary.
They do.
In California, if you would have shot, that guy got shot trying to get into the guy's house.
You go to jail.
Yeah.
You go to jail.
You have to, they allow you to get robbed.
There are two clips I need to play because they are in play. You probably heard about this.
If you are in this country illegally and you committed a crime by entering the country, you should be uncomfortable. You should look over your shoulder and you need to be worried. With the recent rise in immigration arrests, Mexican nationals have been given a new emergency resource. Eyewitness News reporter Alicia Neave shows us how it works. Good.
The free app Mi Consul Mex now has an emergency button where users can call or text to get an immediate response from a consulate officer. While the app is designed for Mexican nationals, the Consul General of Mexico in San Antonio says they will also respond to cases of undocumented immigrants facing deportation.
Relative that is missing, when someone is apprehended and they don't have access to an attorney or to some legal help. Also when they are experiencing some abuse in the use of force, for example, of some authorities.
The button launched last month. Spreading Consul Torres says the need for the consulate's immediate assistance grew more than 100% since this time last year.
People want to know about their legal cases. They want to receive information on their migratory status.
Immigration attorney Lance Curtwright says any time an undocumented immigrant is arrested, they have the right to notify the consulate. The app just expedites that service.
And just think of it from our perspective. If you are a U.S. citizen and you're abroad, you'd want, and you got arrested, you'd want to be able to talk to your counsel right away. That's all they're doing here. And that's an appropriate thing to do.
Visit Kens5.com for more information on the app and its services.
So you heard about this story?
Oh, yeah. It's a great story.
This story that I just played, this clip, is 7 years old.
It's out again.
They did this 7 years ago.
Well, I heard this story just the other day.
I know. And I went searching for a story. And I'm like, wait a minute. They did this story 7 years ago.
Well,
just
they're up to the same no good.
And then this clip is a must listen. This explains everything you need to know about the problems in Canada. There's a lot of problems right now. There's a lot of problems. This particular problem is in Parliament. A chemistry professor is complaining about the level of DEI in grants for Canadian studies. I found this to be fascinating, and at the same time, makes a lot of sense why Canada should really become the 51st state. We can save you.
Madam Chair, committee members, thank you for inviting me. The Academy has become an echo chamber of progressive social justice ideas, and this is reflected in the federal research granting process. A previous witness noted a phenomenon described as group polarization. When ideologically uniform groups lack dissenting voices, the group often arrives at positions far more radical than those of most individuals in the group. Lack of viewpoint diversity diminishes research excellence. As an example, the Journal of Chemical Education published a paper titled A Special Topic Class in Chemistry on Feminism and Science as a Tool to Disrupt Disconscious Racism in STEM. This paper described the development and interrelationship between quantum mechanics, Marxist materialism, Afrofuturism pessimism, and post-colonial nationalism, and attempted to problematize time as a linear social construct. Our government funded a research grant titled Decolonizing Light, Tracing and Countering Colonialism in Contemporary Physics, where the authors aim not to find new or better explanations of light or seek scientific truth. Rather, they plan to address the marginalization of women, black people, and indigenous peoples for social equity. The journal Cogent Social Sciences published a paper titled The Conceptual Penis as a Social Construct, in which the authors used post-structuralist discursive criticism in the example of climate change to argue that the conceptual penis is better understood not as an anatomical organ, but as a social construct isomorphic to performative toxic masculinity.
Dude. Dude.
Wow. Dude. Good stuff.
The conceptual penis? I love decolonizing light. That's beautiful.
Poor Canada. There have to be two states, Eastern and Western.
Yeah, but do we really want the French part?
I mean, probably. Well, they could keep it. Why don't you let them go free?
Free them. Free the French Canadians.
Free the French.
Free the French Canadians.
Yeah, so you have the two states, the East and West, and then you have French Canada, which would be it'd be what's left of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's its own thing. And that would work out, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I know the West and the East don't get along, so that you can't just have one big state.
So I think there's another op underway, another anti-Russia op. NATO, of course, is just beside themselves that Trump is going to end this war. And so we need to remember what Mark Rutte said. We need to have a war mindset, a war economy. And so this story has been around. There have been stories like it. This is relatively short, just to set you up for the NATO guy.
NATO is stepping up Navy patrols in the Baltic Sea after Russia was accused of sabotaging a major undersea power cable. Finnish authorities are interviewing the crew of a ship suspected of cutting the cable on Christmas Day. The line carries electricity between Finland and Estonia, but it now sits at the bottom of the Baltic. Alexander Stubb is Finland's president.
We've got the situation under control, and we have to continue work together vigilantly to make sure that our critical infrastructure is not damaged by outsiders. It's too soon to draw conclusions yet. Why this happened, we know who did it.
Investigators believe the unmarked vessel belongs to Russia. The Kremlin has declined to comment on the accusation. Since the start of Russia's war in Ukraine, several cables have been cut in the Baltic Sea.
So this was, what was this on? I can't remember what this was on. This is a NATO spokeshole, not Mark Rutte, of course. This is American, I believe. And he is now warning about unconventional threats from Russia.
The brutality of Russia's war in Ukraine
at France 24
is all too clear. But Moscow is also accused of waging a far more covert campaign of attacks against NATO countries. It means while life across much of the rest of Europe, the US and Canada may seem peaceful on the surface, Western officials warn of a growing hidden threat.
Hidden threat.
And they say it's not only from cyber attacks and online disinformation.
What's also new is the increase in sabotage and assassination plots. Arson. Damage to infrastructure.
He heads a team updating a NATO strategy to track and deter what's known as hybrid warfare.
Ooh.
He says such attacks linked to Russia have risen since the full-scale invasion of Ukraine.
If you're only strictly in the kinetic attack, we can definitely count dozens up to 100 for sure. We're in a little bit of a boiling frog situation. We are seeing now what would have been utterly unacceptable 5 years ago. But we've kind of gotten used to a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and that's very dangerous. So we want to establish a baseline now, then prevent escalation, manage it if it happens, but also work to de-escalate, not to where we are now, but to where we were years ago.
So he's setting us up for this complete overview of all the things that Russia, maybe China, but probably Russia has been doing that we've just been in the West, in Western Europe, have just been sitting like frogs in a boiling pot. Who knew this hybrid warfare was taking place the whole time?
Types of hostility include cyber attacks, with literally thousands happening every day, linked not just to Russia, but also to China, Iran, and North Korea. London was the victim of a major cyber hack last summer on hospital blood tests. Then there are disinformation campaigns aimed, for example, at political interference. It's what Russia is suspected of doing during a recent presidential election race in Romania. Russian spies are also accused of physical attacks, such as an attempt to assassinate the head of a major German defense company. And another big concern is a spike in suspected Russian sabotage and arson, targeting undersea cables, train lines, and warehouses linked to European support to Ukraine.
They're everywhere. It can't just be a failing of a computer system. Can't just
it
be.
It sounds like a plot from an old movie from the 40s.
Yeah, well, it's the Red Scare. That's what they're doing. Oh, they're trying to assassinate the German defense guys. Mm-hmm. Doesn't ring really true to me.
No, especially when you know they could do it if they wanted to.
Yes. Easily.
I have a hack story from the Japan Airlines thing. It turns out, I guess the Bank of Japan's been hacked too, which didn't get much play.
Japan Airlines says its computer network has come under cyber attack, causing problems with its baggage management system. JAL says the attack began shortly before 7:30 Thursday morning. The airliner says it expects the glitch to affect both domestic and international flights, and that some flights are already delayed. The company says that as of 10:30 a.m., more than 10 flights leaving Tokyo's Haneda Airport have been delayed by up to around 50 minutes. JAL says it deeply apologizes to customers and others for the inconvenience.
We have breaking news, breaking news, breaking news at this hour. President Carter has died at the age of 100.
Well, he got to 100.
Let's roll out the retrospective.
Well, that'll chew up some news cycles.
Oh, everyone has it ready. Everyone's got one on the shelf.
Oh, yeah, of course they do. They're
good to go. What can we predict will be in the... first of all, we'll have the word peanut farmer. That will definitely be in the retrospective.
Lots of building homes.
Building homes. Habitat for humanity. Yeah, lots of that.
That'll be in there.
How about... didn't he have a drunk brother?
He won't be mentioned.
But didn't he have one, or was that Clinton?
Yeah, Billy. Billy Carter.
Billy
he
Carter.
Billy yeah. Beer. He had his own beer yeah. label, as a matter of fact, if you remember.
Billy Beer will not be mentioned in the retrospective.
That's which is my
too
guess.
Bad, which is too bad. Who else should be in there? What else should be in there?
There has to be the Iranian hostage crisis, which got kicked out.
Yeah, the hostage crisis.
I don't know of anything else.
And, well, they will also talk about Roslyn. Got to talk about Rosalind. That was his wife, wasn't it? Rosalind?
Yeah, Rosalind. Yeah. I don't know what to talk to her, talk about her, what she had to do with.
Well, just mention her, like a quick,
well, they
brief
have
mention.
To mention.
Brief mention. And then we'll show, didn't Bill, who visited them? Biden and Jill.
Yeah.
Yeah, they visited them, so they'll show that. All right, that's it. That's done. Your retrospective. Rest in peace, Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, we did it. We did it here.
Rest in
peace.
I have
another hacker clip that's been sitting around. You have to go look it up in the archive.
Okay.
I'm like, I forgot to move it over.
All right.
S-A-L-Y.
Yes.
In all caps. You should find it.
Yes, I have it.
A Chinese state-backed hacking operation causing a stir on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers today investigate what one senator has called the worst telecom hack in our nation's history. This comes after the White House warns that millions of Americans' personal information could be at risk.
Oh, yeah.
Currently, our communities, our schools, hospitals, our libraries, our police departments, and emergency responders do not have the resources to defend themselves against foreign adversaries. The Seoul Typhoon hacks that were discovered last month demonstrate that even the largest corporations in the United States are vulnerable.
U.S. officials last month unveiled a stealthy cyber espionage campaign titled Salt Typhoon. The operation has reportedly compromised at least 8 major telecom networks, including Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. Yeah. According to the FBI, Salt Typhoon enables Beijing to tap into Americans' phone calls and text messages. President-elect Trump, Senator J.D. Vance, and Vice President Kamala Harris are all victims of this campaign. Salt Typhoon has been acting for roughly 2 years, but the full extent of damages it has caused remain unknown till this day. Lawmakers recommended several countermeasures, including getting companies with ties to China out of American networks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Everything China has got to go. Your air fryer. Yeah, got to get them out of the networks, got to get the TikTok on wings, the drones, everything China has got to go.
So the big story that's not reported, I should have a clip, but I never got one, which is the fact that Huawei, which would be a great investment if it wasn't privately held in China by the government, came out with their, and Huawei's a huge cell phone maker.
Yes, and switches for the cell phone networks, everything. Yep.
And that, but they also make phones, and they make good phones. The phones are dynamite. They used to show them here in the States, and they banned them.
Yep.
They've dropped Android, and they've come up with their own operating system.
Yes, yes.
That's a bigger deal than people. This story's not played.
No.
It's a huge deal.
They announced it, I think, a month ago or something.
A couple weeks ago. I think it was a while ago.
Isn't it based on an Android derivative like Graphene OS or something?
I'm not sure where it came from.
I think so.
But you can do it. Why would you want to use Android? Screw them.
No. I mean, you look at the Nokia phones, they're using, what's that other OS called?
They used to use Symbian. Yeah. What happened to that?
Symbian's open source. Just no one will ever do anything with it. What is that? What is the flip phone Nokia operating system? It's a funky one, but it works pretty well. It's Kai OS. There you go, Kai OS. But I think Kai OS got investment from Google, and everyone considers them to be compromised.
Compromised,
I tell you. Hey, I mean, I hate to be morbid about it, but it would be kind of interesting if they claimed that Jimmy Carter finally died of bird flu. It would really help the cause.
They're not going to be able to pull that one off.
I'm going to get to your TikTok clips in a moment. Everybody waits for it. We're so excited. But first, this important report from the world of chess.
The Norwegian chess grandmaster Magnus Carlsen has quit a world tournament in New York after the game's governing body said he could not carry on playing wearing jeans. He was given the opportunity to change into smarter trousers, but refused, using offensive language. Paul Moss reports.
He's always been considered a maverick in the chess world. Magnus Carlsen certainly shifted the image of chess grandmasters. Often seen as introverted or geeky, he, by contrast, was famed for his alcohol capacity, earning the nickname Dr. Drunkenstein. Mr. Carlsen also tends to dress more stylishly than his opponents. And at the Rapid Chess Tournament in New York, he refused a demand to wear smart trousers, warned he'd be kicked out unless he changed out of jeans immediately. Magnus Carlsen's response was rather direct.
They can enforce their rules. That's fine by me. And my response is then I'm out. Like you.
This is not Magnus Carlsen's first controversy. He once accused an opponent of having radio-controlled objects inserted in a certain bodily orifice, signaling which move to make. That matter was eventually resolved, but Mr. Carlsen's sartorial choices look set to remain a running sore in the world of chess.
I think the chess game has just gotten interesting to watch.
I think my clip has got more information that's a little more interesting.
Oh, you have a clip about Dr. Drunk?
It doesn't discuss that. It discusses the fact that nobody can beat this guy, chess champ.
The world's top chess player, Magnus Carlsen, quit the World Rapid Chess Championship in New York today after he was told to change out of his jeans to abide by a dress code. The Norwegian chess grandmaster was fined $200 yesterday and given a warning by the International Chess Federation to change the clothes or be disqualified. He told the chess channel, take, take, take. He was told he had to change immediately, so he quit, and he says he won't appeal the decision. Quitting means the 34-year-old, who became a grandmaster at 13, won't be able to defend his title in the World Blitz Championship, where he's a 7-time champ.
Wait a minute. There's a chess channel?
Yeah. 7-time champ at this event. They kicked him out, obviously, for the reason he's going to win again. This is bull crap.
There's controversy in the chess world.
And he was a grandmaster at 13?
That's amazing.
That's a smart kid.
Hey, you ready?
Let's do a prelim. There's a lot of, you know, I've decided or noticed a lot of my talk clips, and I call them talk.
Yeah.
Are actually from elsewhere.
Well, let me just set you up here. We need to have the jingle to get everyone ready.
Talk, TikTok.
All right.
And I've also noticed something.
Yes.
Most of the people in a lot of these clips have nose rings.
It's a thing these days. People have nose rings.
And I think the nose ring is subconsciously announcing to the world that you like to be led around by the nose, because that's the same kind of a ring that a cow would have.
Yes.
And so you're actually saying to the public, even though you don't even know it, probably subconscious, you're saying I'd like to be led around by the nose, so my opinions of things are actually somebody else's. I'm being led to say these things. I honestly believe that to be excellent analysis.
I cannot refute that.
And so all these clips today are people with nose rings. Let's start with this. Is not from the, this doesn't say talk, this one is Cal, C-A-L, pronoun rapist.
A convicted criminal who served time at the women's prison in Chowchilla is charged with raping fellow inmates. A Madera County judge says Tremaine Carroll must be referred to with she, her pronouns. District attorney is pushing back because the 52-year-old Carroll is a biological male and the decision could impact the pursuit of justice. Court records show Carroll was convicted in Los Angeles County in 1993 for aggravated kidnapping for the purpose of ransom or to commit another crime. Carroll is now serving time in a men's prison as this rape case moves forward.
Action News reporter Brianna Willis spoke with the district attorney about the potential impact of the pronoun ruling.
A Madera County judge ruled this week 52-year-old state prisoner Tremaine Carroll must be referred to with she, her pronouns because Carroll identifies as a woman. But the district attorney believes the defendant is abusing the system.
This is a person who's not a woman in any sense of the word.
In March, DA Sally Moreno charged Carroll for rape allegedly committed while incarcerated at the Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla.
After his first cellmate became pregnant and was moved to Los Angeles, two other cellmates of his complained that he had raped them. So we have filed rape charges against this inmate.
Moreno says the ruling regarding pronouns impacts her ability to prosecute the case.
This is a particular issue in this case because it's confusing to the jury. In California, rape is a crime that has to be accomplished by a man.
Supervising Deputy DA Eric Dutemple says it's also unfair to the victims.
It's just absolutely insane that a victim would have to get on the stand and police their pronouns and their usage when trying to recite one of the most scariest times in their lives.
Carol was allowed to serve time in a women's prison despite being a biological male because of Senate Bill 132, the Transgender Respect Agency and Dignity Act, which took effect in 2021.
Wow. I'm going to change my opinion of making Canada the 51st state. I think we should give California to Canada.
Yeah, well,
fits better,
yeah,
with
I can
a
see
conceptual
that.
Penis. Oh, man.
Yeah, isn't that unbelievable? The Senate bill, it was makes it so this guy, all you have to say is you're a woman, you have to put you in a woman's prison. This is unbelievably stupid, but that's California.
Mm-hmm.
So let's listen to the TikTok clips. These are the more, let's start with talk. This is a guy with a nose ring yakking away.
Me and my girlfriend were going to a wine castle and we sat down for our tasting. And at first they were just very rude and didn't really answer our questions and we didn't really feel welcome. Our server said, yes.
You had something to say about my UpTalk clips. Holy moly.
Really feel welcome. Our server said, yes, sir. When I was asking some questions and I said, oh, no. I'm actually not a sir. And instead of apologizing or I don't know what else you would do other than apologize, they just walked away, did not acknowledge what I said, just walked away. We saw the server like whispering to a manager, and a few minutes later, the manager came over and, you know, really big smile, not acknowledging at all that the misgender had happened. And I say, hey, look, the last person, they misgendered me and that really hurt. And they just walked away. And the manager said, oh, well, some people just aren't as progressive as you. And then they gave us a nice little chocolate that suggested they wanted our money, but didn't want to say sorry. So we left and got a full refund. It's one thing to get misgendered and then get an apology, but it's another thing to get misgendered and then be told that it's okay and not to worry about it. And here's a chocolate.
Again, this is narcissism at its peak in culture. It's all about me and how I feel and how I want to identify and look at my nose ring.
Yeah, this guy had one too.
Yeah, it's sad and these people need help.
And here we had, now this one is a carryover from the last show. I resisted playing it. This is another woman, and I believe she has a nose ring. And she has just, this is, the only way I can describe this clip is this is just loony ramblings.
Good news. It doesn't matter who you voted for. If you really thought Trump was going to have your back and you're disappointed, here's the good news, guys. Apparently, Amendment 14, Article 3 states that Trump is technically disqualified because he was found guilty of an attempted insertion. This wonderful.
Hold on. Attempted what? Insertion?
An attempted insertion. Yes. He was found guilty, by the way, of this attempted insertion.
States that Trump is technically disqualified because he was found guilty of an attempted insertion. This wonderful, brilliant young woman posted it this morning, and I don't remember her name, but I reposted. If this is so, I know it's the holiday season, but whomever has these skills, community organizers, if you could please make it super easy for all of us, no excuse, to email, call our representatives to demand an amnesty act to avoid Vice President Trump from taking office.
Vice President?
And Trump, listen, you've never been my favorite person.
Wait a minute, did she say Vice President Trump?
Yeah, that's exactly what she said.
To avoid Vice President Trump from taking office.
Great.
And Trump, listen, you've never been my favorite person. You're a person, you're somebody's father, grandfather, but I never understood why you'd be so hateful. And I understand that you were afraid to go to jail, so you sold your soul. Listen, it's scary. You've been rich, a white rich man your whole life, to suddenly go to jail. You sold your soul. But here's the thing, it's not a good look. you've kind of regressed, and even you deserve better. Your father was an abusive narcissist, and here you are being made to look small by this narcissistic, abusive billionaire who is pulling your strings because he bought you your freedom, and he is now president. And it's really pathetic. You deserve better.
Well, this is a fine case of what you say, being yourself, narcissistic. Why else would this loony go on TikTok to ramble like this?
I'm just baffled by it every time I get one of these clips.
What is, I wish, yeah, it would be even better.
Have you ever felt the urge to go on one-on-one, have a camera in your car? By the way, these are always in somebody's car.
Yeah, this is because that's your personal narcissist studio.
It's your little studio.
Yeah.
And have you ever found the urges to go on and ramble about something like, you know, your personal gripe about the day or something? I mean, it's just beyond me. I just completely, it's baffling. That's why I get these clips, because I just like, wow, what happened here?
I'm still stuck on attempted insertion, to be honest.
Attempted insertion. Hey, found guilty of attempted.
By donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Oh, brother.
Guilty.
You were going to say something?
He was found guilty of attempted.
Attempted insertion. That's right. That goes perfectly with the end of show mix about the erection that he did.
Yeah, that guy, the end of show mix, there's an erection clip where they got so, half of these I never heard.
Yeah, they're good.
I thought I heard most of them.
Yeah. The January 6th erection. Yes. We are here to thank the rest of our producers. $50 and above is still on the way. We do have the end of show mix. We have a couple of title upgrades. And, of course, the tip of the day. Everyone's very excited about it. John, take us through the 50s, if you don't mind.
Yes. Let's start off with MSR in Germantown, Wisconsin, $150. Then we have Sir Donald, which you already did. Dame Danny and Sir Jeff in Mount Shasta, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And these people are always wishing us Happy New Year, by the way, all of them. Hetty, California, 1,1754.
Hetty.
This amounts in homage to RFK's upcoming birthday, which is 1,1754. Huh. That's what she gave us, 1,1754. Interesting. She used to donate to KPFA, but got wise, and that gives us, and by the way, the same thing should be said about PBS. Eric Reinhardt in San Antonio, Texas, 10535. Dame Dane in Binnington, Czech Republic. I think that's Switzerland. Sorry. That's Switzerland. She's in Switzerland, 9272, with a happy New Year. McKenna in Hutchinson, Kansas, 8438. Kevin McLaughlin, there he is finally, 8008. He's the Archduke of Luna, lover of America and boobs, and that is a boob donation, along with Christian Grulish in Winter Haven, Florida, with 8008, and Jonathan Rupert in Oakland, California, who's 8008 and wishing his smoking hot wife, Baroness Sarah, a happy birthday. Jorge Alvarez in Ponte Verde Beach, Florida, 7171. Craig Kohler in Evansville, Indiana, 6502, which is a chip. James Buell in Vista, California, 6006. Edward Bala in Cork. He's in Cork, Ireland, 5678. Surprise in Yukon, Oklahoma, 5444. Kevin Adam in Clover, South Carolina, 5272. Carney Woodland in Worthington, Ohio, 5272. This is a switcheroo donation for her smoking hot husband, Doug. And he needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
David Hudson in Lombard, Illinois, 5272, with the reminder to tip your garbage man.
That's right. I did it before we left.
You did know.
I always tip the garbage.
And how do you do this? What was the mechanism? Did you run out there at 5 in the morning when they came up to pick up the garbage? How'd you do this?
Well, as you know, we have a private garbage pickup because we are unincorporated. And so we have our dudes from Gillespie County Waste Management. And I ran out there at 8:45 was when they come and pick it up. And he got out of his truck and I complimented his big truck. He has a new truck. And by the way, if I forget to put my garbage out, I can text him and say, oh, bro, I forgot to put my garbage out. He comes back and picks it up. And so I gave him a little Christmas card with a tip.
Oh, nice. I give bottles of wine. I have too much wine in the cellar.
Okay.
Eric Hochul in Mulrose, Deutschland, $52. There he is. And it's coming through. His name's coming through for a change.
Yes, amazing.
Sir Recalcitrant Crazy Steve, our buddy here in Santa Rosa, California, $51.50. Please shout out the meetup at Old Kaz in Roanoke Park next Saturday, 1-4-25. And he's going to be at the Mallard Club at 2125. Scott Nelson in Council Bluffs, Iowa, 5001. Now, the following people are all $50 donors. There's not a lot of them, surprisingly. And I'll just give the names and locations. Starting with Richard Gardner, who I think is in New York. John Taylor in Florissant, Colorado. Aaron Weisgerber in Bend, Oregon. Sir Circumstance, not to be mixed up with Circumference, in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. Bobby Bosch or Bo? Bobby Bo.
No,
Bobby Bo.
No.
Bobby Bowie. Oh, no. Bowie.
No.
Boy.
Bobby Boy.
Bobby Boy. You know, she right sent
there.
Me a note.
It says it right there.
She sent
there.
Me a note making a big point of saying, don't forget to pronounce Boy. You keep on mispronouncing it.
And how'd that work out? So,
it didn't work out because I said it wrong again, but it is pronounced Boy. So it's Bobby Boy. She's getting a lot of attention on this show.
Yes, she is.
And she's in Bluegrass, Iowa, which I assume is grassy. Finally on the list, a short list, is Leif Thompson in Meridian, Idaho. And he came in with the last $50. I want to thank him and everybody else for helping us out on show 1725.
And again, thanks to our executive and associate executive producers for this episode and for all of those under $50, which we will not mention for reasons of anonymity. We see you, we read you, we love you. And of course, the sustaining donors who set up recurring donations, any amount, any frequency, go to noagendadonations.com to set that up. Again, it's noagendadonations.com. Sir Donald of Calgary turned 57 on the 27th. Sir Circumstance celebrates today. Happy birthday. Doug and Cammy wish Adam Fitch a happy one for tomorrow. And Jonathan Rupert wishes his smoking hot wife, Baroness Sarah Rupert, a very happy birthday. And we do the same from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday. Title changes. Turning faces late. Title changes. And we missed a title change on show 1721. Kim donated to upgrade her title to Archduchess. It was missed in the title change segment. And, of course, she wondered if she can now have the title of Black Archduchess. And I think she can.
No.
It's been approved here on my spreadsheet.
It wasn't approved by the committee.
Well, Kim Keeper of the Nutty Fluffers is now Archduchess Kim Keeper of the Nutty Fluffers. You take it up with the committee, Kim. Commodore Sir Prime becomes Commodore Sir Prime Baron of Southeast Delaware County, region of Pennsylvania. And Sir Shwu of the Six Strings becomes Baron Shwu of the Six Strings. Thank you all very much for supporting the No Agenda Show in the amount of $1,000 or more. Yes?
I will mention this.
Yes?
We have long ago determined that the only thing you can be a black knight because it's like a thing, a black knight, but a black baron, a black duke, a black this, a black that. I unless I can be talked out of it, I don't think it's appropriate.
Well, I think you should call HR and have HR talk to Jay because she put Black Archduchess in my prep.
Yeah, I realized that's what she did, but she did it on her own accord.
Well, we can't have that. Have HR give her a talking to.
She's gone rogue.
Now we have a couple of Commodores, which is very nice to see. We congratulate the following Commodores. Sir Prime, I realize we've got the wrong thing here. Hold on a second.
Are those Commodores or are those Doctors of Education?
There's Doctors of Education. I made a mistake. Let me try that again. No one will know the difference when I edit it in post. And now we have a couple of doctors, brand new doctorates of education, and we congratulate Commodore Sir Prime on his Doctor of Education in Climate Change Studies, along with R.S. Bagwell and Mike Schweitzer, better known as Baron Shrew of the Six Rings. Congratulations, brand new doctors of education. Sorry, the bird flu got me. The bird flu got me.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel? You were sick last show.
We both feel pretty bad. I mean,
well, you sounded good because you sounded sick on the show, John, like I think once.
John, I have been near death. I've been without teeth. I've been divorced twice. And you've never heard about it on the show. That's just who I am, bro.
No, there was one time you did sound sick on the show.
Oh, okay. No, a little jet lag, but actually we took the ivermectin and we sailed through it. And I recommend everybody, we take ivermectin twice a week.
It's a drop of a hat, apparently.
Well, we take it twice a week as a prophylactic, and I think it helped. Because I know who I got this from. I know who I got this thing from. And now Christina has it. But we did okay. I mean, we had the jet lag. We're flying around Europe. So, we, of course, are super spreaders. But in general, we take it on Thursdays and Sundays, show days, just in case. For my weight and height, I take 20 milligrams of ivermectin 2 times a week. And took an extra 6 milligrams when it hit me, which is a week ago, and got through pretty good. I mean, yeah, I just still some lingering cough, but that's just what bird flu does. Yeah, it's okay. So that is not medical advice. It's just telling you what I
know. No, it's not medical advice, and you should get tested.
Get tested, everybody. Yeah, big party going down on Monday, New Year's Eve. I Like Pizza Steve. That is the meetup on December 30th. That's
New Year's Eve is Tuesday.
New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve.
Oh, New Year's Eve.
Yeah, we did this last show.
Oh, yeah, you did this. Like, every so often we do an Eve. Yeah. And there's Eve.
Yeah, so that's Bald Man Brewing in Eagan, Minnesota. And that's one of our Southwest pilots who are organizing that. Go and say hi. Then on Thursday, our next show day, which is January 2nd, Northern Wake Publical Slave Gathering, 6 o'clock at Saints and Scholars in Raleigh, North Carolina. We have many more meetups well into the new year. In fact, I even see Longview, Texas on the list for June 29th. Some of these things are planned well in advance. Some of them pop up later on. And a reminder, what was the one we needed to promote? We have Colorado Springs on January 4th, Rohnert Park, California, January 4th, Yukon, Oklahoma on the 4th, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana on the 4th. And, of course, we all need to remember that there is a meeting in Albany, California, meetup on February 1st. And John will be there. And kids will be running around. That's the kind of meetups we like to run over.
No, that was at the Mallard. No kids.
Oh, no kids. Keep your kids out of here. If you'd like to learn more about the meetups, and I recommend you go to at least one, you can find information at noagendameetups.com. It is a great website. Sir Daniel manages that for us, part of our time, talents, and treasure. We appreciate that very much. Mimi always sends me the list. We appreciate that. Go to noagendameetups.com. Find one near you. If you can't find one, start one yourself. It's easy and always a party. Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days.
You wanna be where you won't be, triggered or held to blame. You wanna be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Well, good news. Good news. You have 4 ISOs. That's good news. Because I don't have any. I do have one that someone sent me, which is funny, but it's too long. I just thought it was interesting, and I'll play it.
So, guys, time to teleport you to the ISO zone.
You can just use it for a jingle for the ISO zone. I had no idea that was out there. So, luckily, you have 4 to choose from, so I'm very happy about that.
Okay, let's start with Christmas.
Christmas was a little different.
Where do you get these? Where do you get these from?
That one, it came from an NPR discussion from some up-talking characters, and this woman says Christmas is a little different, at least in my house.
That was pretty good. It's pretty good.
Next. Then we have, try this one. Try this is, I think, podcast. Do a podcast.
I could not have done better than that podcast.
Not bad. I like it. I like it.
Then we have so much.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
No, that's too muddy.
It is muddy.
Rejected.
And then great shows.
That was a year of great shows, boys.
Well, that's not hard. I mean, that's like written for us.
Exactly.
That was a year of great shows, boys.
That is fantastic. Where'd you get that from?
I don't remember.
Okay, good work. And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for John C. Dvorak's tip of the day. Christmas for you and me, just the tip with JCD. And sometimes Adam, created by Dana Bernetti. That, by the way, is Baron Sir Shrew, who did that jingle for us.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Sir Shrew knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's a musician.
Yeah. I wish, you know, we have a lot of musicians who listen to the show, and not many of them contribute. I mean, they contribute money, some of them, but they don't contribute to,
well, Sir Shrew is a very successful musician. Most musicians are pretty much value for value up shit creek. Without a paddle.
Well, we have some big shots, too.
Yeah, well, these guys are big shots.
Okay, so this was kind of discussing after the show, I think, last time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I just say one thing before I forget? I want to thank everybody for sending me, and I put the links in the show notes, links to baggage scales, which apparently Amazon now has, even though I looked for them a while back. There's the digital luggage scale, gift for traveler suitcase handheld weight scale, and the Klau Mini Weight 300 kilograms industrial crane scale digital hanging scale blue, which is a little more expensive, but you can also hang your meat on it.
Well, I think that qualifies as a tip.
Yes, it's a tip. It's a tip. So links in the show notes.
So we talked about this a little bit, and you said it should be tip of the day, and I'm going to make it tip of the day today, which is the use of when you're buying wine, particularly Bordeaux, by the way. But when you're buying wine, there's a lot of these wines with little stickers on them that say, oh, 91, 92 points, or even better.
Yes.
Is a small sticker that says Macon, usually, which is from a big tasting the French do. And the stickers are either gold, silver, or bronze colored, and these stickers are all meaningful, and they're all accurate examples of why you should maybe choose these wines. If you see, you know, they hit the stickers, all the wine operations, Wine Enthusiast and all these other guys, they have these stickers and they make them available to the wineries. And so if the wine gets a high score in some tasting, they get to put the sticker on. And I would say that they're generally accurate. So if you see a wine with a sticker
it's not just marketing is what you're saying.
Yes, I'm saying they're worth paying attention to. They're not just a bogus sticker that anyone could put on, you know, like instant bestseller, for example.
Oh, one of those.
It's not like one of those stickers. And so... it's a real sticker, and the ones if you can see the ones that are from French sources, including the Macon one, which don't put point totals, they put either the gold, silver, or bronze sticker, and you stick to the gold ones and kind of skip over the silver and bronze ones. Those are generally, I'd say the gold ones are more accurate in terms of the wine being really good. Or if the sticker says 91 points, and I should be over 90 nowadays because of what I call bracket creep. You know, these guys have been jacking up the ratings on wines that really used to be, I'd say 15 years ago, today's 90-point wine would have been an 88. It's just a common thing because if you give the score 90, you give the wine 91 points, you're probably getting closer to being a good wine. So I would stay with 91 as the minimum. But they're accurate and people should pay attention to them.
I always thought it was the calorie content of the wine, but what can I say? There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Go to noagendafun.com or tipoftheday.net for John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB. And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
And that concludes our year of broadcasts. Another fine year it was, Dr. Dvorak.
Yes, it was good.
It was a good year. A lot happened. And we look forward to another year of media deconstruction with you, our producers, who really, really make a lot of it happen. And we really do appreciate that. We have end-of-show mixes by D's Laughs, and we have the Jones Brothers Syndicate with a twofer. We've got Steve Jones with an end-of-show mix and Neil Jones with an end-of-show mix. Could it get any better? Up next on the No Agenda stream, or your modern podcast app, or trollroom.io, stay tuned for Larry's Christmas Ghost. That is That Larry Show, the deepest voice in podcasting. It's a good show, good guy, solid man. Love to have him coming up after our podcast. And I'm coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country. Remember us at noagendadonations.com. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I remain, I'm John C. Dvorak.
And we say once again, Happy New Year, everybody. Have a good time watching that ball drop. Until Thursday, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
We're living in a clown show.
I laugh. If you're driving through, everything smells like weed. It's nothing but pot shops and fashion dance places. If you gotta drive through a couple of miles, don't forget protesters on the way.
Some days it feels like I can never leave. Toronto never say the second T. Screwface capital, you get your disrespect for free. The only language people understand is when you're speaking green. Treat it as an economic zone. Everything is going up in price. Can't afford a home. As the citizens ignore the blight, they won't boycott the companies they don't like, but they moan and groan. Nah, I'm good. Amygdala smaller than ever. Rapping about the news and leaving clues, thinking that I'm clever. Working three jobs I can live in color. Henley Crooks brainwashing Miss Dotton Butler, but more like Smedley. Another Tim Hortons being built. Just look around. I'm not counting, but we are all Brampton now. TTC the Metro links these things. Y'all the father who my faith is in. I never worry about a jinx. Yeah. TTC the Metro links. I mean, it stinks.
Happened. Things that have never happened. Let's talk about the fact that President Trump incited an eruption. Maybe that too.
Yeah, you can talk about that too, I guess.
Maybe we should talk about that too.
While the events of the erection, excuse me. After 40 years, I can't believe I did that on TV.
Inciting or assisting in an erection.
Donald John Trump incited the erection.
Does the President of the United States believe that former President Trump incited an erection? Excuse me.
Who has been impeached for inciting the erection?
He did incite an erection on the Capitol.
If I have to embrace somebody just inciting an erection,
he worked to incite an erection.
There is no comparison to inciting an erection.
We
feel if a president has incited an erection.
Someone just incited an erection.
For inciting that deadly erection.
And remember that we just had this bird flu scare, which is not over, but it wasn't in the ground beef. Oh.
The USDA says the negative results tonight confirm the meat supply is safe.
Thank God. It might be in the milk, but it's in the ground beef.
This morning, the FDA insists the nation's milk supply is safe.
But when people listen very poorly to the news, and they hear breaking, ground beef, bird flu.
None of the first known case of a human getting bird flu from a mammal in the U.S.
I guarantee you that people are are like, well, maybe you should just have some chicken tonight.
You cannot get this strain of bird flu from eating poultry.
Yeah, man, I'm not so sure I want to have some desserts.
War on chicken.
Bird flu has halted production at the nation's largest producer of fresh eggs.
I heard something about ground beef. I don't like it. And they're all jumping in on it.
Meantime, there are reports a bottlenose dolphin in Florida has died from bird flu, possibly the first dolphin in the U.S. to die of the virus.
Thank you, science.
Thank you, science. Thank you, science.
We have science. I know you love science.
Silent Brain is people!
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Dvorak.org/NA.
That was a year of great shows, boys.